Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to the Sunday afternoon edition of the Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia. I'm broadcasting to the facilities of ShakeAndWakeRadio.com. I'm also being simulcast on the Truth Be Told Radio Network. I always start my shows with a little plug for the station, guys. These stations do cost money to run. If you like the content and what we're trying to do and what we bring forward, a couple bucks a month out of you would be much appreciated. If you can do better than that, that's great. But a coffee a month, I think we can all afford that. So if you can chip in a few bucks, they would much appreciate it. Always start my show thanking my producer because I always manage to forget about it at the end. Thanks, Steve, for what you're doing. And let's get right into this because, of course, I've got every 2 weeks, we get the Duracell Bunny in here. And I just put the batteries in Roger, and I'm going to ask Roger what his first pet peeve of the week is. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
My first pet peeve, let me see. You still don't know how to put those batteries in quite right. Yeah. But anyway, you're getting better at it.
Practice makes perfect, Roger. You know that.
Okay. Look, my biggest pet peeve right now is something that I guess we've been talking about for literally over a year, you and I, Barry. Biggest pet peeve is that the biggest issue that humanity is, I don't know, suffering at this point in time only gets worse every single day. And that is a absolutely bogus global pandemic for which a mechanism of big pharma is being utilized to absolutely kill off a large portion of humanity. And yeah, Roger doesn't make bogus or open statements, so I'm quite sure we're going to dissect that down into little pieces as the show goes along.
Well, if you're not banging your head against the wall by now, Roger, then you're not paying attention, because I absolutely agree with you. I'm sick of this crap, and why we can't put an end to it is the million-dollar question. You'd think people by now would get on to the fact that this isn't anything about a flu or a sickness or a virus. It's about taking every one of our freedoms away. And what's going on in my country right now is just going right off the scale. But you know the reason they're doing that, Roger, is because they're losing the narrative, and they know it. They know that thousands and thousands of people are waking up every day to this scam, and they're ready to stand up. We're starting to see that in Canada. I don't know what's going on down in your country. What's going on down there?
Yeah, we're starting to see people getting absolutely crazy about this. And it's about time. It is. I knew it was going to happen. But I also know, as I've said more than once on your show, that America is usually very slow to wake up. But when we do, we absolutely are, you know, we're a terror to anybody who's trying to face us down. Look, it's gotten to the point where a doctor who talks about the COVID falsehoods, a doctor who talks about the damage being done by the vaccines, loses her license and is forced to take a psych evaluation for the COVID falsehoods she is passing around. Now, how's that for a way to start the show? This is a doctor who has nothing but the best for her patients at heart, and they not only pull her license, but they tell her in order to move forward, she must have a psych eval. I don't know what's going on, but all I can hear is banging.
It's not here, buddy. It's not here. Wow. You know what's happening is I have hunks of snow hitting my roof. And what's happening here is we've got rain going on. So the snow is coming down in big clumps and it's hitting my roof. So if you hear some banging, it's not me pounding on the table here, Roger. I'm being a good little soldier because I know I get hecked for making noise in the background all the time. And I'm a fidgeter, but I am not doing it. So anyways,
You do tell people it's coming from your kitchen. So people do expect at least a certain level of noise from a kitchen.
Well, it is actually snow. It is actually snow hitting. This is legitimate. But anyways, BC government, here's the BC government's rationale right now, that the vaccinated people are spreading COVID to the unvaccinated. So this is right from their health minister. And this is, I listened to this three times because I couldn't believe what they were saying. that we unvaccinated have to go get vaccinated because the vaccinated people are spreading it to the unvaccinated people. So therefore, us unvaccinated people have to go get vaccinated to stop what?
Okay, hold on a second.
I'm not kidding, Roger. That's the level of insanity. Go ahead.
But hold on a second, because again, it is so easy once you know as much as people like you and I know to poke holes in their narrative. They're telling you that in order for you to be safe, you must get vaccinated now to protect yourself from the vaccinated. If you're unvaccinated, you're in danger from the vaccinated. Wait a minute. A couple of weeks ago, it was called the pandemic of the unvaccinated. Now it's the pandemic of the vaccinated. But hold on. Let's take this to the next step. Yeah, I can hear you laughing because it's freaking hilarious. It really is. If it wasn't so absolutely insane. Now, they're going to tell you that in order for you to be safe, you need to go and get vaccinated to protect you from the vaccinated. So once you're vaccinated, and I've said this on your show several times before, but let's revisit it. Once you are vaccinated, you don't, in order to maintain your pass, you need to get the second shot. You need to get the first booster. You need to get the second booster. And this is a digital pass, which means that as soon as you don't show up for your booster shot, your vaccine pass is no longer good. Yeah. Now, I'm going to also tell you that if the vaccinated are making the unvaccinated sick, how many vaccinated people never had COVID? So what you're also saying is that the vaccinated now carry the spike protein and they can infect the vaccinated who never had COVID but get vaccinated to keep them from getting it. So now what you're saying is what I said on your show almost a year ago. The vaccinated are now super spreaders. And every time you get another vaccine, you increase your viral load. So you are a massive damage to anybody who is unvaccinated, who is no damage or danger to you whatsoever. Why do I say that? I dare anybody to tell me one country out of the dozen countries that have been approached under the Freedom of Information Act to show any proof of the existence of a SARS-CoV-2 virus. That means an image. That means anything to prove that this actually exists. 12 countries have had to swallow their crap and tell those who have submitted these FOIA requests, we have no proof. So now what they're telling you is that if you aren't vaccinated, those who are vaccinated, we gave them something that we manufactured called the spike protein from a quote-unquote computer model of the SARS-CoV-2 virus because they don't actually have one. So they created something out of nothing. They give it to you in a vaccine, and now they can spread it to you. So the only way for you to be on parity with them is for you to go out and get the same thing they invented to give everybody to make them sick. So they're telling you that if you are unvaccinated, which you're no harm to anybody, you're not, because SARS-CoV-2 doesn't exist. Nobody's been able to prove it does. So if you're unvaccinated, you are 100%, okay, protected. You are 100% safe. You're healthy until you get around somebody who's vaccinated. And then they tell you not only is that transmissible, but you need to get a shot to protect yourself from the vaccinated. Are you listening to what I said, people? This entire narrative has flipped over. But yet you're still going to send your kids to get vaccinated, aren't you? How many idiots are listening to this show right now? What we are looking at is a narrative whereby governments are starting to admit that you need to get a vaccine to protect yourself from the vaccinated. Are you freaking kidding me? And it goes much, much deeper than that. We are looking at doctors' careers being destroyed. We are looking at nurses' careers being destroyed. Why? because they are telling people exactly what I just told you. If you cannot prove that a virus exists, and you've all heard me say this again, but let's revisit it just a little bit. In order to make a vaccine, you need a virus. You need that virus because in a controlled amount, along with adjuvants like aluminum, they put this into your body along with other toxins and poisons. And what it does is it stimulates your immune system to produce soldiers called immunity. These soldiers step up as soon as that virus appears in the body because you come close to somebody who's infected. And they step up and they kill that virus. But you never had a virus to start with. So you created something from a computer model, which you think it might be. Listen to me, people. I'm going to say this again, and I'll say it on every show, including my new show. I'll say it over and over again. There is no proof that SARS-CoV-2, COVID-19, even exists anywhere on this planet. So when you are forced to get a vaccine, it is not to protect you from something. It's to give you something. Now, with what Barry just told you and what I just told you, tell me how the hell I'm wrong. And then get in line to get your booster.
I went and looked at all kinds of information this week, Roger, and every site that I go to, Denmark especially, the data is out there. And they can't hide this data anymore, but 90% of the breakouts of the new killer variant that hasn't killed anybody yet are the vaccinated, double-jabbed people. And I looked at Israel. I looked at France. I looked at England. I spent hours here looking to numbers to get verification on these numbers in every country that I'm looking at. The numbers vary slightly, but everyone is saying the exact same thing, except, of course, over here in Canada, where it's a complete flip that the unvaccinated are the creation of all the cases, that the unvaccinated are a majority of the breakouts, that the unvaccinated are the ones that are filling the hospitals. We're proving everything they say to be absolute horse bunk. But this is what the Canadian government is telling people on a daily basis. But everywhere else I look in the world, absolutely contradictory, hardcore data. You try and get that through to people, explain that to people, and they just kind of look at you with a dumb look. These people that are absolutely, totally sold and hypnotized by the government propaganda, you give them that kind of information, and it's almost like you get a blank stare in their face, Roger. They know that you're talking about something that should affect them and shouldn't influence their thinking, but they're still hypnotized. We got to find a virus for that, man, or a vaccine for that. We do.
How can you?
The hypnotism.
How the heck can you possibly beat someone up over not getting a vaccine? A vaccine that is based on a computer-generated model on something they think might exist, but they have never isolated it, so they can't prove it. But at the same time, the common cold, which kills a lot of people on the planet every year, is gone. Hold on. The flu, which kills even more people all across the planet every year, is gone. Pneumonia, which affects well over 1 million people in the United States alone, and we only have 5% of the global population, 1 million people. It's all but gone. I need to tell you something. Everybody needs to get on their knees right now and pray to God, thanking him for giving us COVID-19. Because COVID-19 is solely responsible for getting rid of the common cold, the flu, and pneumonia, which kills a lot of people across the planet every year. Let's all have 3 cheers for COVID-19. Are you that stupid?
Unfortunately, Roger, we are really seeing that in our society, and it baffles me. It really does, that the trees are so much in people's faces yet, and they still can't see the forest. And, you know, I listened to Dr. Robert Malone talk about this in depth, and what we've seen happen in society, and you're well aware of this, is that society is basically in a state of hypnotism, that these people in our society that absolutely refuse to accept this information, it's like they do not want to be able to admit themselves that the government is actually doing something nefarious and their government isn't working for them, and that this is not good. They're just, you can't get through to them. And those are the individuals in my society that I find the most frustrating. And I'm getting to a point now, Roger, honestly, I'm not going to spend a lot more time with those people because we're seeing a large amount of people in my community and right across this country now really starting to wake up. You try, but it's like talking to a nail. But we need those people also to get on board to put a stop to this. So it is, I find that's one of the most frustrating things I'm dealing with right now is the state of hypnotism. What do you think?
What I think is what most people are, and again, how many times have we talked about door number one, door number two, and door number three? Okay, I'm not going to go through the whole spiel again, but what I am going to tell you is I'll give you the punchline again. You guys all need to understand those doors only open when they're trying to distract you from reality. All three of those doors are in the same theater, and that theater is owned by the same people. What everybody out there needs to understand is even the controversy we're discussing right now, where reality is falling apart, where it's actually the vaccinated who are the most dangerous, but just a couple of months ago, it was the unvaccinated who were the most dangerous. Door number one and door number two. What's door number three? Well, we'll find out in a week or two when people really start getting pissed off about what's going on behind door number two, because door number one's already closed. We already figured out too much about that. And then door number three is going to open up and all hell's going to break loose again. People, you all need to understand that this is a massive diversion. A diversion from what? Okay. The, the Merchant Marine is falling apart. And they deliver probably more cargo. We're seeing cargo shipments from countries across the planet that are vital for, any type of commerce to continue globally. Without commerce, you're going to see massive global economic collapse. But you've got to be able to blame it on something. So you've got to really hype this COVID thing. It's got to be really hyped. It's responsible for everything. It's responsible for the lack of shipments. It's responsible for China, which is the biggest producer of just about on the entire planet. They have taken over from the United States. No, they're not a richer country. They're not a more powerful country, but they are the biggest producer on the planet. And right now, guess what? There are more people being locked down in China because of a new variant, a new wave, that products are not being made. People are walking off of their jobs because of the restrictions, so on and so forth. China's starting to understand that when you give a society that big any type of freedoms, they get used to them and they want more. This is a communist totalitarian country. So now we're seeing supply chains, not only in the United States, but across the entire planet, are starting to buckle. We're seeing lives being forfeit all across the planet. We are being told that the spike protein will promote sterility not only in females because it centers in their ovaries, but also in males. We are being told that just because you get 1, 2, 3, 4 COVID shots and you don't die doesn't mean that 1 or 2 years from now your heart isn't going to fail due to this, or you're not going to end up with a brain aneurysm and die, or so on and so forth. A lot of this is, we won't even see the biggest amount of death until we look back from 5 years from now. Then we're going to see how it ramped up. What we are looking at is increased death. What we are looking at is increased destruction of global economy. What we are looking at is increased destruction of national economies. What we are looking at is the pitting of one portion of a population against the other, the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated. What we are seeing is if you're not willing to accept a totalitarian government, then we need to start making, internment camps for you. We're starting to see that. That's already in 4 countries and it's going to spread. Okay? This is what we're seeing. Everybody is focused on the vaccinated or unvaccinated. What nobody seems to be focused on is, why the hell is all of this being done and what is it leading to? It is leading to the Great Reset. Anybody who is fooled by the word great, it doesn't mean good. Great Reset means across the entire globe, affecting all of humanity. This is intended to, was intended to, bring the entire globe to its knees, to a point where they can't function. They can't live. They're talking about massive starvation in China now. They're talking about starvation in Europe now. They're talking about starvation in South America now, because people can't produce crops. They're even telling you that, guess what? Your lettuce has COVID-19 in it. I'm not kidding. So what we are looking at is everything that you need, even to return to some semblance of normalcy, you're being told it's never going to happen. Then all of a sudden, when everything crumbles around you, these elitists will come in, they will stick their hand out, because you're going to be on the ground on your knees. They'll stick their hand out and say, take my hand. I'll tell you what, I'm going to make life a lot better for you. It's not going to be as good as it used to be, but I can promise you it's going to be better than it is. You want to know what the Great Reset is? That's what it is. And you're helping to make it happen. You better get off your butt and start pushing back, or communism is going to be a good thing. Because what we're going to end up with is going to make communism look friendly. And it's well on its way.
If we could only get our hands on the mainstream media, Roger, for 24 hours and put out hardcore factual information to the public that they need at this particular point, you would see this whole thing crumble. Of course, our biggest enemy right now in society is the mainstream. People's inability to get their hands on actual factual information. So many doctors, so many declarations being ramped up against these vaccines, but you never hear that information on mainstream. Only alternative are you hearing this thing. In Canada right now, they're about to pass another bill. It's basically going to be able to shut down, the government will be able to shut down any website or any program in Canada they deem not suitable for Canadian people to be hearing. That bill is in front of our parliament right now. Pretty scary stuff, Roger. Really is, but it's just another step to where they're taking society. You're absolutely correct. If people really knew the danger that our country's in right now, Roger, you would see people stand up. But so many people still figure, well, you know, I can go to the store. There's groceries in the store. I still have a little bit of money left out of my paycheck. Life isn't too bad, you know. But it's going to turn over real quick, and all of a sudden we're going to see hyperinflation like we've never seen before. That's just around the corner. Justin Trudeau is not going to allow trucks into Canada unless they are double jibby jab. You know what that's going to do to our supply chain up here, Roger, in the next couple months? And what's the end game of that? You know and I know. Go ahead.
I would say that it's not even the doctors who have crumbled under the pressure and are now supporting the lie. I would say it's not even the business owners who are crumbling under the pressure and restricting what you can and can't have access to. I would tell you it's not even the teachers who are going along with the scenario by not allowing your children into school, even though it's a proven fact that a child 17 years old or under has a 99.9978% chance of surviving what is supposed to be COVID, which just happens to be about the same chances you have of surviving a mild flu or a cold. Oh, gee, what does that tell you? So what we're looking at here is not so much that it is the world and it is the doctors and it is the COVID as it is the politicians. None of this could happen if we had politicians with backbone. The thing of it is, in order for something like this to be successful, as broadly as it is, even with the fact that so many people are aware of the lies being told, we're aware that the vaccines do not keep you from getting COVID. They don't keep your body from storing it, and they don't keep you from transmitting it, simply because you get whatever you're transmitting the first time they give you a shot. You never had it before that. Okay. So now you're looking at the politicians. These people have been in the loop for years. If you stop to consider how much tyranny is going on in how many countries across the planet, then you have to understand that this is all part of a scenario that has been available to those in power for much longer than most would consider. If you have a Republican or a Democrat in Congress talking about the spread of COVID and what we need to do to stop it, and we've got to isolate these people because this is a massively bad virus, so on and so forth, how many of those politicians have had the nads to stand in front of Congress or in front of your people up in Canada and say something like, well, I don't understand how that can be because nobody's ever proven this even exists. Nobody's ever shown an isolated SARS-CoV-2 virus. Nobody. And why is it that it is the vaccinated right now that are the biggest danger to the public? When's the last time a politician, whether they're right-leaning or left-leaning, stood up in front of your country and said, all of this is a lie, all of it, and they are trying to kill off as many of you as they can, collapse the economy, and turn you all into elitist slaves? That's the only way you'll be able to live going forward. Which one in what country ever said that? But you want to know something? That's the truth. So if you want to go back to the beginning, if you want to go back to who's the most guilty, it is the politicians you elected to go and represent you in your government and protect you and your interests. The politicians in Canada, the politicians in America, the politicians in Germany, in Great Britain, in Australia are the biggest traitors to humanity we have ever freaking seen. Put the blame where it needs to be. These politicians know they've got it easy on the other side, and they don't give a crap what happens to you.
And Roger, you know the irony of it all? Is all these people have been pulled aside and said, look, you guys have got a ticket to the big party. This is the agenda, and this is what we're going to do. But you know what, Roger? I know, and you know, when their usefulness is up, they are up the ladder four or five rungs above you and me.
There are only so many seats at the elitist dinner
table. At the top, they're not going to get there, buddy. They think they are. They've been pulled aside. They've been offered the ticket, and they believe that they're going to be covered when this poop hits the fan, that everything is just going to be roses for them. But they're not. They're going to get quashed just as badly as us below them when their usefulness is up. And they got to realize that they don't have a ticket. These people that are talking to them, you trust anything they say, Roger? And I want to talk about one other thing before you get going again, because you talked about camps being built in countries. Well, right now, Roger, five of them are being built in Canada. Right now, as you and me talk, there's five what they call volunteer isolation camps.
Yes, I know.
125 million dollars of our money is building camps right now in Canada to isolate. You know who they're going to put there, Roger. We don't have to go any farther. But they are building them in Canada, and it's a fact. That should have people freaking out, Roger.
Well, let's talk about Fauci for a second. Let's talk about one of the most deplorable people on the planet. Let's talk about Fauci, who, when he was questioned by congressmen and senators, flat out stated that nothing he was doing was corrupt. Nothing was in his favor. All he had was the people's welfare. And somebody leaked his financial documents. This guy has millions of dollars. He has massively profited from this entire scamdemic. Yeah, let's talk about the almighty Fauci. Let's talk about the people who actually run what is happening today. Does anybody, whether you're in Canada or the United States, really believe that Joe Bob, who found it tough to get more than 100 people at a rally, absolutely slaughtered Trump, who was getting 50,000 people at a rally with 2,000 of them outside the gate, all upset because they couldn't get in? There wasn't any room for them. This is what we're supposed to believe. Why did Biden absolutely have to win? Why? Because he was the perfect stooge. He was the perfect puppet. He wouldn't step up and say anything because he doesn't know anything. All he had to do was be at least semi-efficient at reading a teleprompter, something he can't even do it that well anymore. He literally can't. The last time he did a speak, I got to explain something to you. If that was my dad, I would have taken him to the hospital right after he got done talking. This is the president of the United States. Can you guess? Can you even come close to guessing what, I don't know, Z is thinking, what Putin is thinking? They're rubbing their hands together going, oh, my God, this is great. This is so great. There's a total moron running the United States. But that's not true. We all know that he's not running the United States. We all know that the leftists who are actually running the United States are the people behind everything we've discussed today. Why do I say that? Do y'all remember me telling you, and I bet you do, that you cannot bring in global governance until you totally destroy the cowboys of the world? Who are the cowboys of the world? America. Now, let's stop and think about this. 8 years of Obama. 8 years of Obama. What happened? He literally started to destroy our military. He literally started the destruction of our economy. He literally started the destruction of our healthcare system, Obamacare. He literally started the destruction of our educational system. Need I go on? This is the guy who made a deal with Iran and then flew billions of dollars on a pallet, on a plane over there for the bribe he made so that they would go along with the crap he was going to tell the rest of the world. This is what we had. 8 years of Obama getting the United States ready for failure. It was always supposed to be that Hillary was going to win next and she was going to finish it off with this plandemic. But what happened? Something really threw a big monkey wrench in the total plan, and that was Trump. Now, everybody's going to tell you Trump won because he's just so much more, I don't know, he's big. You know, he's got this huge presence. Everybody loved Trump, and I'm going to tell you that's not why Trump won. And Trump almost didn't win in 2016, almost. He should have won by a massive landslide, but the amount of cheating in the 2016 election is just slightly below what we saw in the 2020 election. There was massive cheating in all of the swing states, but hey, Trump didn't push it because he actually got into the White House. Here's the elites now. All of this was supposed to be happening 5 years ago, not today, 5 years ago. Because Hillary was supposed to be in there to finish what Obama started. All of a sudden, she's not in there. So now what you have to do, you have to, beyond a shadow of a doubt, ensure that this guy who thinks more about the people than he does the elitist never, ever gets reelected. And if they can, they need to get him pulled out of office before the end of his term. They try to impeach him once. It doesn't work. They try to impeach him a second time. It doesn't work. They claim that he has been, I don't know, colluding with Russia, when in fact it was Hillary's team that was colluding with Russia. If you go on and on, what we saw was the massive elitist focus on the destruction of Donald Trump while he was president. But let's back off from that a little bit. He is getting a roadblock for everything he wants to do every single day. Everything Trump tried to do via Congress, via the Senate, via the House of Representatives, whatever he tried to do, they put the brakes on it. Yet via executive action and going to local and state governments, Trump accomplished more in 4 years than any president in recent history did in 8 years. He got our military back up to snuff. He got the respect of America boosted again. Our economy went from dead to the best on the planet again. Our healthcare system, the cost dropped by 20 to 30%. I could go on. This is a president who has fought every single step of the way, but still managed to accomplish more than any liberal president in 20 to 30 years. At that point, the elites had no choice. No matter what it took, no matter what it required, even if it was to be found out, it didn't matter. They had to ensure Trump did not get a second term. Why? Because as soon as Joe Bob gets in, wait a minute, what did I say Obama did? He was destroying our military. Oh, God, what did Joe Bob do? He's destroying our military. Didn't I say Obama was destroying our economy? Wait a minute, Joe Bob, almost total destruction of our economy. Didn't I say healthcare system? Didn't I say education system? Everything that Hillary was supposed to accomplish, because Trump was never supposed to win, you see Joe Bob accomplishing. Everything that didn't get done then is getting done now. This is the time, and it's not all about America, but it is. This is the time, if we don't get off of our butt and push back, this is the time that America will be brought to her knees, turned into a third world country, at which point you will see global governance, because the cowboys of the planet won't be there to push back. That's what's happening. COVID is door number three, people. It is not what's going on. It's not what you have to fear. It isn't. It's a distraction, and it's a damn good one.
One question I have for Donald J. Trump, Roger. I agree. Trump did good things for America. I looked at the numbers. There's no doubting what you're saying about what he did in the 4 years as president. But there's a wound in the side of America that will never be healed until the people that inflicted that wound are brought to justice. And, of course, I'm talking about 9/11. When Trump had the presidency, Roger, I'm going to put a question to you. He knew, there's no doubt in my mind, a man of that stature, a man of that intelligence with the people around him, absolutely knew beyond a shadow of a doubt what actually happened on 9/11. And when he had the power of the presidency of the United States of America, why did he not address that wound and heal it? Because America will never heal till that wound is healed. Am I correct in saying that? And why was that not addressed? That is something that needs to be addressed. We all know it's the biggest lie in history, but here we are 20 some odd years later, and it's still hanging over our heads. Your thoughts on that?
You're right and you're wrong. Okay, it is one of the biggest, but it's not the biggest. The biggest is this COVID issue, okay, and global governance. That's the biggest issue because that's going to affect everybody on the entire planet, not just the United States. But let's take that into effect, okay? Let's also consider that Trump has stated that he believes people should get their vaccines, but he's not going to force them to do it. Now, you can't tell me that as smart as he is and as much as the people around him and information can feed him, that he's not as aware as you and I are on just why the vaccines are as dangerous as they are, but yet he will promote them. He even tells people he got his vaccines and he got his booster, which I think is absolute crap. I don't think he went anywhere near them. And if he did get them in a public setting, they were probably not the vaccines. All right. Now, why? Why would he do this about 9/11? Why would he do this about the vaccines? Anybody out there who doesn't, and I just said this on my premiere show a couple of hours ago, if you stop to consider, okay, anybody who ever makes it into the presidency of the United States has to have the backing of the elites, or at least a segment of the elites in one fashion or another. Otherwise, you're never going to get or reach a position of power such as that. I don't care how popular you are. It's not going to happen. And when I tell people that, they go, oh, come on, that's bull crap, Roger. Is it really? How many of you know that Donald Trump has been bankrupt a couple of times? How many of you know that one of his benefactors on making sure he was bailed out was the Rothschilds, who just happened to be the richest conglomerate family on the entire planet and probably controls more wealth and assets than any country on this planet, or many of them combined? How many of them know that the Rothschilds bailed Trump out? Now, if you can tell me, if you can look me right in the eye and tell me he doesn't feel he owes them anything, you're an idiot. So, will Trump do things better than other people? Yes. Is Trump an elitist? Yes. Is he going to be perfect? No. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't give a damn. I'll take a dog with three legs if he's going to come up and sit in my lap and lick my face, rather than a dog with four legs who's going to rip my face off.
Good answer. Hey, Roger, you know you hear me chuckle a lot in the background when you're talking, because you said, it's like we say, man, the stuff we talk about is so ridiculous that it is hilarious. And I'm not ever laughing at you. I'm laughing at what's being said, and you know that. But you hear me chuckle a lot, buddy, and I can't help it, because it is absolutely ridiculous.
Because the crazy old man is over here screaming and drooling on himself, too.
Well, hey, Roger, you're not crazy. We all know that. And I love your passion, buddy. But
well, hold on a second. Let me explain that passion, okay? Because I just went through this, again, 2 hours ago on my premiere show, which I will tell everybody real quick, because it does not interfere with your show. It is every Sunday from noon to 1 Central on RBN, and it's called TLB Talk Radio. But listen to me. This is what I tell people. You want me to tell you the truth. So I'm so angry about something that it literally could rip me apart mentally. But I'm going to tell it to you like this. I think something is so stupid that it's hilarious. But I'm going to tell it to you like this. I'm going to tell you something. You're always going to hear the truth to me, and you're always going to know exactly what it's doing to me. You want truth? Truth isn't given in a monotone voice. It isn't.
I was looking at one article this week from in the States there, where people are monitoring the obituaries in all the papers in all the cities. And what they're finding, Roger, is unbelievable amounts of all of a sudden children dying of undisclosed causes. But yep. A tremendous spike. Now, tell me it's a coincidence, my friend. I know there's people looking into this as we speak right now, the amount of increase in child deaths that they're seeing in the United States of America that just happens to, by the way, correlate with the onset of injecting children with these poisons. What do you think about that? And this is public information, Roger. They can't call that. That's the one thing good about obituaries. Go ahead.
Think of it as you put emphasis on a story like that because you bring it up with the focus on children. You're always going to get more attention if you focus on what's happening to children. And that I actually honestly believe is worthwhile. If something is affecting our children that much, it needs to be focused on and people need to understand, because without our children, humanity doesn't go forward. End of story. But what most people are not understanding, again, the children are door number one, two, or three. What is the main picture? Step back and understand the theater is owned by the same people. In the United States, last year, in 2021, there was a 40% increase in deaths. Are you listening to me? A 40% increase in deaths. And we already know people aren't dying from COVID. People are dying from the vaccine. We have seen almost, it's approaching 50%. So let's say 50 million people die out of 350 million, which is, you know, reasonable. I mean, actually, old age, disease, so on and so forth. 50 million die from whatever causes over the course of a year. This year, about 68 million died. What we are seeing is a massive increase in deaths. But again, how much of this can be blamed on a virus that nobody has ever been able to show you actually exists. But once you get your first shot, now you're carrying a computer generated and then built from a computer and, generated whatever. They have built a virus, and that's called the spike protein. This is supposed to represent the spike protein that comes from SARS-CoV-2, except nobody's ever been able to show that that exists at all. So what we're looking at is massive deaths from COVID, which a vast majority of them today, you and I have already discussed this, across the planet, are coming from those who have actually been vaccinated. What we are talking about is something, if you remember, and I'm sure you're going to remember and agree with me, I said 6 months ago on your show, I said you are not being beat up by the government, by the healthcare, whatever, to go and get a vaccine against anything. You are being beat up to go and get something from a vaccine. This is exactly what's happening. The scamdemic, the plandemic we see across the planet is coming from the vaccines. It's not coming from SARS-CoV-2, because if it was, every country on this planet, which has any kind of a healthcare research center, which they all do, would easily be able to show you that isolated virus. And none of them can. We also know that this spike protein has the ability to hang around and multiply in your system. We also know that the spike protein will knock your immune system to the ground for a minimum of 15 months. This is what the doctors are saying. Literally knock your immune system to the ground. We are seeing cancers soar. We are seeing all kinds of other diseases soar, but yet that's not good enough, because you need to get the second shot. There's another 15 months. Then you need to get how many boosters? And these are all happening within months of each other, not 15 months apart. So what you are doing is you are intentionally overloading and killing the immune system. The autoimmune deficiencies springing up all across the planet are absolutely mind-bending. But let me give you the truth about that. Going forward, this doesn't happen overnight. Going forward over the next 5 to 10 years, you are going to see a massive increase in autoimmune deficiency across the planet. Okay, everybody's saying, okay, so you're autoimmune. What the heck is that? That means that the common cold is going to kill you. That means the flu is going to kill you. That means pneumonia is going to kill you. That means measles are going to kill you. That means the mumps are going to kill you. Are you catching the drift? Your body no longer has the ability to build those soldiers I told you about. You have no immune system. So the things that would keep your body safe by developing immunity no longer exist. It's not. This shot has never been to save you from anything. It's been to give you something. Wake up!
Well, yeah, I know, Roger. I know all this, and it just blows my mind. It really does. Vaccine-induced immune system deficiency is the new catchphrase, and we're going to hear that as we go forward. And, of course, why would they want to do that, Roger? Why would they want to make it so that people would catch a cold and die? Well, of course, because it'll be the variant number 34, that's going to require the 85th booster. The good news is that the government of Canada, Justin Trudeau in his wisdom, has bought enough vaccines now for everybody in Canada to get a booster every 6 months for the next 4 years. It was 3 years, now it's 4 years that he has spent this money on our behalf because he loves us, Roger. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, the elite don't do anything of this magnitude without telegraphing it first.
Are you kidding?
And again, I will go. They do. They telegraph all of these major things they're going to do. And if you stop and consider, and you've all heard me say this before, let's go right back to the Georgia Guidestones. Somebody spent millions of dollars, or at least $1 million, to put up a marble freaking huge thing right out in the middle of nowhere. And one of the things on there says, keep the population of humanity under 500 million in tune with nature. Okay, there's almost 8 billion of us. They always tell you what they're going to do before they do it. What is the reason for all of this? The reason for all of this is to knock humanity down below 500 million people and keep them all in servitude to those who have a place at the elitist dinner table. This isn't a joke. It's not a guess. And I have been talking. I dare anybody here to go to the Liberty Beacon, put Roger Landry in the search bar, and look at the articles I wrote 10 years ago talking about exactly what I just said. And you all told me I was nuts. Guess what? Roger's not nuts. He's just loud.
Roger, I'll attest to that. We talked about this stuff when I first started talking with you years and years ago. I don't know how many years that is now. I was trying to think about that the other
day. Almost 8 years.
About 8 years ago, and we were having these conversations back then, and people thought we were loony bins, that we had tinfoil hats on. You guys haven't got a clue what you're talking about. This can't happen in a modern, civilized, free society. Well, here it is, guys, and it's on steroids, and it's a cancer, and it's growing by the minute. And if we don't stop this cancer in our society, Roger, it will kill the host, and that's where we're going real soon. Go ahead.
If people wait until the doctors step up to save them, it's not going to happen. If people wait until the nurses step up, it's not going to happen. If people wait until the researchers step up, it's not going to happen. If people wait till the politicians step up, it's not going to happen. If people wait until the professors step up to save us, it's not going to happen. Why? Because these people are known to be leaders, and everything will be done to make sure, just like the doctor I told you, who was putting out information to good information to her clients, and not only had her license pulled, but was told she had to have a psych eval because she must be crazy. This is what they're doing to the doctors. I'm going to tell you the only functionary on this planet that can save all of us. And it won't take violence. What it will take is unity. And that's you and me. But I got to explain something else to you. If this show is over and you say, well, that was entertaining, and you forget all about it, and you go out and have a few drinks, and you talk about who didn't win the game last night, if this is the way you're going to treat the information that's being given to you, I'm damn near bleeding every time I talk. You know, and I do that with purpose, okay? I'm telling you right now, the only thing that can save humanity right now is us. We, the people, whether it's Germany, whether it's the United States, whether it's Australia, it doesn't matter. It's we, the people. There's 7.8 billion of us, and there's going to be a whole hell of a lot less because a lot of people have had that vaccination already, but even if they kill half of us, there's still almost 4 billion of us. Look, we're on the winning side. But if you continue to leave your focus on door number one, door number two, and door number three, they're going to win hands down. You need to back up. You need to understand by looking at the entire picture how these things actually work together. How the big picture is what you're missing because you're being forced to look at the catastrophes of the small pictures. Mm. This is what you need to do. Who can save us? Me and you. If we don't do it, forget about it. Tell your children they might as well crawl in a hole because we're not going to leave them anything. And that'll be the truth.
You're absolutely correct, buddy. If you want to see a hero, you better look in the mirror. And you know what, folks? If we don't stop this, and I've said this many times on my show, but I really mean this from the bottom of my heart, that if we don't stop this right now because we know what's going on, we know what the consequences are, we know where they're taking us, then one day your child's going to stand on top of your grave and they're going to piss on you because they are the ones that are going to really pay the price. Roger and me are both in the twilight years. We don't know how many years we got left on this planet. We know we got less than when we started. And if either one of us book out of here tomorrow, well, I can say it honestly, Roger, we've had more years than a lot of people. But what we're leaving for our children right now, that is our legacy, folks. Yes. And really, we got to look ourselves in the mirror and go, hey, this is absolute insanity. And it's going to take every one of us stepping up the plate now and getting involved. Roger, we're down. The time's out. I want you to share real quickly. And folks, you like what Roger talks and the way he rants, and I know we all love Roger's ranting. Tune into his radio show now and let's support that for Roger. You got a minute to share it with us, Roger, and I'll have to let you go for another couple of weeks, my friend.
TLV Talk is the new social media platform, TLVTalk.com. It's where you can listen to a show like this and then go and discuss it with people you know. Listen to me. Everybody here can learn something. But then once you've learned something, everybody here can teach something. The Liberty Beacon is the .com is the basic main website. You go there, you can find links to all of the other news websites across the planet. And the show is on RBN, Republic Broadcast Network, and it is every Sunday from noon to 1. And I have a feeling that's going to be a two-hour show pretty damn quick because a lot of people are going to insist on it.
Hey, maybe one someday I'll even get on that show, Roger.
Oh, no, not someday. You are going to be on that show, Barry. And so is Steve. I know he's listening. He will be, too.
Okay, Roger, buddy, I got to let you go. Thanks for coming in, and always a pleasure talking with you. And we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Thanks for the platform, Barry. You're always appreciated.
Okay, guys, thanks a lot. And we'll be back in about 3 or 4 minutes with Wayne Peters, Ethics Over Fear, What's Up Canada. And boy, he's got some stuff to talk about, legal challenges going against our government in Canada in the next hour. Hang around, should be interesting. Back in a couple.
Really hot looking?
Every Monday night.
time to tell you, freaking idiot. Don't make me come up here again.
Welcome back, second hour, folks, and thanks again for Roger coming in. I love talking with that man, and 2 weeks we'll have him back. I've also got in for the second hour here, a gentleman I really enjoy talking with, a man that's doing a lot right now to stop the lunacy in our country. I'm talking about Wayne Peters, Ethics Over Fear and What's Up Canada. Welcome back, Wayne. It's good to have you back in. I haven't talked to you for about 3 weeks. I think it's been at least 3 weeks, and always start the show with your pet peeve of the week. So what is it this week?
Oh, you get the bonus round this week. The number one, first one, just kind of minor. I'll put the good news first and then the bad news second. But the first one is how do I follow up with Roger Landry? You know, after a discussion like that, you always bring me in after these guys, and I can't carry the load after that. But my genuine pet peeve of this week is after 50 years of being a productive member of Canadian society, I am now considered unforgivable, according to the Star, who stated yesterday that the unvaccinated cherish their freedom to harm others. How can we ever forgive them? This is our tax dollars at war with the people. This is just absolutely mind-boggling to me that this is acceptable in any form of print anywhere in this freaking world, even, that we have slid so far down the communist totem pole that we are now unforgivable.
And that's only the start, Wayne. The agenda for the next 3-4 weeks is just going to be these unvaccinated people are the scourge of society. We already heard what Trudeau had to say about us. We're hearing the same rhetoric coming from all coffers in government. They're going to ramp this up, and pretty soon they're going to come out and say, hey, guess what, guys? We built these camps. Maybe we should just put all these unvaccinated scourges in our society in these camps, and we'll be right back to where Germany was in 1938, 1939, folks. We're so close right now, Wayne. It is stupid, and it's absolute insanity. Go ahead.
They only spent $500 billion and couldn't fix the healthcare system. But, man, they do have a pile of internment camps, shiny new internment camps waiting for us. They've fired or dismissed or removed any conscientious medical objection from any equation. And we have now seen we're now at the point here. We're at the tipping point, I think, of the pharmakia taking complete control over 100% every aspect of Canadians' lives, and if you do not comply, you will die.
If you give up body autonomy,
the end of the line.
Yeah, if you give up body autonomy, Wayne, and anybody's listening to this, if you give that up, then you've lost it all. And we are so close to that right now; it's not even funny. How many camps out of your research? How many camps? Because the number I had and that I've gotten from a couple sources is that there's 5 of them being built in Canada right now. Is there actually more than that, Wayne, that you know of?
I suspect that there are more, but there's 5 that we're aware of that are full-fledged internment camps. There are a lot of places that are designated for potential use. What kind of infrastructure development they put behind those, I have no idea. But you can be assured that they have been preparing for the level of discontent. And yep. I mean, people are surprised by all of these things going on, and there's absolutely zero surprise in any of this. Mao did it, Stalin did it, Hitler is looking like a school, a kindergartner compared to what these guys are doing. And 2 years ago, I started screaming from the mountaintops about the process and the progress of this manufactured destabilization that was ultimately going to lead to the removal of our rights. And then the next step was going to be a forced destabilization of our food and supply chain. Well, I think we're pretty much almost there. We've seen a couple 100% increase in inflation in cost of goods and groceries in the last couple of weeks alone. And I think that a great number of Canadians are rightfully upset, but we have been led to perform like dancing seals and showing our righteous indignation when they are prepared for it. They trigger us and they promote, so they create a problem reaction solution. They create the reaction. They start a problem to create the reaction so that they can enforce the solution. And this is kind of exactly where we're at here now, I believe, with this trucker's convoy that is heading across the country. And, you know, I'm all for protests and peaceful noncompliance. But I have a really, really deep, dark underlying fear that we are playing right into their hand at this point in time, right here, right now. And this is exactly what they want. The country is in a state of turmoil with the truckers. And I think this is a lose-lose situation for everybody. Never mind the fact that it kind of reminds me a little bit like the job. The fourth time will make it work, right? This will be the fourth convoy across to Ottawa, and people are expecting results. And at the end of it, I don't think they're going to get the results that they're looking for. I think this time this is provoked. The government wants this response, and I've just gotten a report here just 2 minutes before going on the air, so I cannot corroborate this yet. I've got people out there in Ottawa that are looking into this, but the report is right now that they are already arresting truckers and putting up barricades in Ottawa in preparation for this. If they are in fact doing so, this will be their first time that they have responded in such a fashion, and I think that they are preparing for the opportunity to call us the disruptors, terrorists, the radicals. And I mean, the repercussions of this is what really scares me. We're already seeing massive inflation. We're already seeing supply chain interruptions. Now they've provoked the truckers to a response that will further enhance all of those inadequacies. If all of the trucks are parked and moving or moving towards Ottawa, they're not hauling groceries to people. So that $5 loaf of bread in the next week or 2 weeks is going to cost $10. And guess who they're going to blame that on? The truckers. Any violence or anything that happens out of this, any repercussion is going to be blamed on the truckers. And this is, I think, what exactly ties into the narrative and the rhetoric that the mainstream media is pumping out there right now. And that's exactly what it ties to this state. How can we forgive these guys that cause the cost of inflation? How can we forgive these guys that won't comply? You know, so this is a really, really precarious time that I think we're heading into in the next 2 weeks. I think are going to be astronomically unreal to any and all Canadians out there. It's just going to be absolutely insane.
Yeah, it is. I see that coming too, Wayne. And of course, now Trudeau is not allowing truckers to come across the border unless they're WW-dabbed. You know, the big box stores, well, they'll have their drivers that are doubled and they'll continue to bring their produce in. But this is going to really affect the smaller businesses in Canada. What they're doing right now, I agree with you. Something's going to give. They know the reason that I believe that's really happening right now, Wayne, is that Canadians are really starting to wake up. They really are starting to realize that this is pretty screwed up. We talk about internment camps, Wayne. What would make a perfect internment camp? Of course, we'll bring up the old Walmart theory. But if you think about it, buddy, a Walmart could be turned into an internment camp that you could not leave in 24 hours.
Well,
and we know that Walmart's got a ticket to the big party, right?
Well, Walmart is, strangely enough, one of those essential services that gets endorsed and supported, and which makes absolutely zero logistical sense according to the science. People would be far more safe in a small convenience store or a grocery store, those kinds of things, where they can actually maintain and manage the cleanliness of their facilities. Nobody can accuse me of thinking that Walmart and Costco and these kinds of places are sterile environments or even clean environments. So this completely goes against everything. But they are among the preferred stock shares for investment for every major union, for every major investor. They are all invested in those exact essential services. How convenient for them that they knew in advance, you know, that they weren't going to be impacted by any of these kinds of things. And now we're seeing in Quebec, where they have just stated that the unvax will no longer be allowed in places like Canadian Tire, Costco, or Walmart, or any of these kinds of stores, based on square footage. Not science, but square footage. Well, what that's going to do, the purpose of that is to not take away from the supply to the haves, the vaccinated. They need and deserve to get their groceries still, but the dirty unforgivables can no longer have the groceries, and they won't be able to supply everybody, so they will cut out the unforgivables.
Perfect plan, eh? They've got this figured out, Wayne. And they know how society is going to react. They know that when you create chaos in society, society will basically do whatever it takes to get rid of that chaos. The screaming in their brain, turn it off. And that's what they're going to play on, of course. And it's going to be, I agree, it's going to get a little crazy here in the next little while. 2 weeks, maybe not, but next month, we're definitely going to see some really crazy stuff happen.
It's quite obvious that the mainstream media is working in conjunction with all of this agenda, they used to call it softening the target. When you know they were going to invade somewhere, they would go and you would pump a bunch of artillery rounds on it for a couple of days and then invade, right? So this is kind of what the mainstream media is doing. It is softening up the population to get them thinking that we are now unforgivable, so that they will be okay with us being ostracized and segregated from basic supplies, from basic grocery stores and needs. And the mainstream media will absolutely endorse this. And this is where, in all of this diabolical evil, Trudeau was at the behest of his handlers, quite brilliant in their evil genius plan to purchase the media, because that eliminates any kind of meaningful resistance. Typically and historically, media exposing both sides of the truth would allow opposition parties and politics to take place because they had access to the truth. So there is no access to the truth for any opposition. So even if the opposition to this in government existed, they have no information in order to fight with, because typically all politicians get their information from the mainstream media. That's only who they are allowed to gather information from. So this puts them in a position of being handicapped. Now, I completely respect some of these politicians that are trying to mount a resistance, but these guys are now handcuffed because they can't get any accurate information, and everything in the mainstream media supports this evil agenda. So when we speak with people like Mr. Nichols, who I respect, and we start to give these MPPs that are awake and listening and looking accurate information, they are absolutely mind blown, because they have no idea. Absolutely no idea, because they're in a sealed echo chamber by the nature of their job. So it's very interesting to see how more and more of these peripheral politicians are now coming to accurate sources of independent media to get the truth from the ground up, because they cannot get anything to work with out of the mainstream media. And as just the headline that I just read out from the Star, that's full Nazi. Even Hitler wouldn't be so brazen to pump that kind of stuff, I don't think, you know. So it's just absolutely mind-boggling to me. So to me, the best action that I've seen in the last several weeks was the protesting of the mainstream media outlets. That's where the public needed to have been expressing themselves a lot sooner than what we have been, because they, and it's sickening, because they're using our own tax dollars to kill us.
I agree, Rick. We should all have CBC surrounded by the thousands every day and drag them guys out of there and replace it with people who actually bring the information to Canadians that they need to hear. Because you know what I know, Wayne, if we could get the information that you and I have access to right now, we don't understand what's going on. This would turn around overnight. People would go, what are we talking about here, folks? How come we haven't heard this before? Well, they are, of course, our biggest enemy. And any government that takes over the media in that country, well, that's number one step into communism, fascism, socialism, slash whatever you want to call it, society they're taking us to. Hitler did the exact same thing prior to the Second World War, Wayne. And I think by 1935, he had complete control of all the media in Germany. So, of course, all that people heard was what the government wanted them to hear. And that's exactly where we are in Canada today. So what we're doing, your little stations, our networks are very vital right now because they are getting the information to people they need to hear. So that's about all we can do right now.
I think it's absolutely amazing and so expertly highlighted by the full outrage against Joe Rogan and his hosting of a couple of medical experts. Now, this is interesting. The mainstream media comes out and slams him as providing false information. And, oh, they got, what was it, 300 doctors or 1,200 doctors or something or another to demand that Joe Rogan be removed, to which the public – the response to that was $270,000 doctors said, no, this is accurate, and you're full of it, right?
So here, I saw that, here, Wayne. That was priceless, buddy.
Right? I mean, so here's Joe Rogan alone by himself sitting there smoking doobies doing more for truth than all of the North American media combined. And some smaller outlets, this is the mind-boggling part to me. We have a budget. I live and survive and do what I do on like $500 a month, and I get I get more than 50% of the engagement on one of my platforms as to what CBC does. They have a budget of $2.6 billion per year, and I am getting 50% of the engagement, getting more than 500,000 engagements per month on probably one of the most censored and platforms on Facebook. Surprisingly, I'm still there, but you know, we can still only talk about 5 or 10% of the reality on these platforms, yeah. And we are still so heavily censored, and we are still outperforming all of the mainstream media. I don't even bother comparing the notes to the smaller companies because I would probably embarrass them even worse than they do themselves by what we're able to do with very little. And it's simply because they are proving themselves to be the criminals of the millennia.
Yeah, people are really yearning for information, Wayne, so they are going to alternatives more and more and more. And, of course, the more they find out, the deeper they want to go. As soon as they start going down the rabbit holes, light bulbs start going on in their brains, and the picture comes into their eyes, and they're going to be absolutely pissed right off. And fear, of course, will be a mechanism that takes hold of them. We got to tell people that, you know, when you do get to that point, you realize that something's really bad going on. The fear is the one emotion that we really have to keep in check, because it's the one they're using so efficiently against us right now. We see people in so much fear of this Omicron variant, Wayne, but it's not killing anybody. All it is a cold virus at that, the best, as far as I can see. I've looked at all the information that I get my hands on. There's nobody dying from it, but yet it is being portrayed as the bubonic plague to the public, and they're still buying this crap after almost two years now. Wayne, what the hell is wrong with people?
At this point, I challenge anybody to be able to try to prove to me any accurate representation of death over the last 2 years, because it's all been a farce. It's all made up numbers. We've had a research team working for a couple of months now on just public information, and it's mind-boggling to me the discrepancy between what the government is reporting and what is available out there as far as for public information. And I understand it's almost impossible for people to do the amount of research that our team has done. But what they're uncovering, people will be hearing about it out of various legislatures in over the coming weeks once they start to sit again, because this is exactly why we're doing this research, is to provide it to people that do have the clout to take it to the places where it will get heard. And this people are going to be incredibly shocked. And when you start to I don't know if people do this anymore, but you know, my mom and dad, when they were getting up into their later years, they made a point of reading the obituaries every week. And this is kind of where this research project started, because they wanted to know who suddenly was taken out of their worlds. Well, when you start to look at that from a higher altitude on what is happening here, just with publicly reported information, there is some coincidences that are undeniably obvious, and I don't believe in coincidence. So this is going to be one of the directions that we're going to be taking the realm of discussion to over the next coming weeks. And there needs to be questions asked from places where they're not being asked. And I've been kind of really leaning on some of the politicians that have not blocked me yet on offering them information, and it's mind-boggling to me how I get assaulted by so-called doctors on media, and where they're literally brazen enough to break the law on a social media platform and demand to know my vaccination status to support their arguments. And I offer them a discussion with somebody that is actually credentialed, and they turn tail and run. Run like the wind. You know, it's just mind-boggling to me, these guys that they are social justice warriors without a leg to stand on. And I am so excited I will be so excited when this finally comes crashing down, because it will come crashing down. But the problem, the unknown, is what kind of chaos is going to happen when it comes apart, because wounded animals do stupid things. And yep, this is exactly what we're up against, is a very wounded animal right now that is desperate to protect their necks. And this is not just happening in Canada. This is international. They're only going to be able to lie their way out of this to avoid the violence for so long. And we're seeing that some countries are no longer buying it. Kazakhstan.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, right. Well, that's why we're seeing such a big, big push now to marginalize us unvaccinated people in society, because they know, like I said, they know they're starting to lose the narrative that the cat is going to come out of the bag here real soon. I agree with you. The big question is, what kind of chaos is that going to create in society? These people, when they get their backs up against the wall, we really don't know what they're capable of. But believe me, they're not going to go out without clawing their way and creating absolute havoc, I honestly believe, on their way out. I guess that'll be my biggest question. What really is going to come down here in the next little while? And how are the common people going to deal with that?
It's going to be worse than any horror film ever created. It's really, I truly believe that's the way it's going to end up. I was listening into your discussion there with Roger. And the VAIDS thing, the vaccine in autoimmune disorder, is going to be a real thing. And yep, now we're going to, it's terrifying on two levels, because their goal was to always create a need for more. So now those that have literally, surrendered to this. And as Roger said, now the measles will be lethal to them. They're going to need another jab to stay alive to avoid that. So every little thing that comes along, they're going to need a jab to survive. So now that they've made the first mistake, it's an unescapable mistake from there. So this is where our discussion about this mandatoriness of all of this is potentially going to put us in a position where, yeah, If this isn't mandatory for people that have had their first, second ones, doesn't matter if they get out, want to get out on the 4th or the 11th, they're going to die.
Yeah. And of course, is what Trudeau's done. I mean, he's purchased enough vaccines for every Canadian to have a booster every 6 months now for the next, well, first figures I read 3 years, but I think it's more like 4 years he's committed to. And then, of course, he's got all kinds of backdoor deals going on with all the companies that we can't get information to, that we can't get that information. He's hiding that from the Canadian people, of course. This is never going to go away, Wayne, until we stand up against it. And the time to stand up against it is now, buddy, because this, what they're doing to our kids, Wayne, that's of all the things we talk about. And that is the one thing that absolutely, it breaks my heart and it drives me nuts that people would actually allow this stuff to be put into the child's body. There's no excuse for it, Wayne. There just is no excuse for it. You can say that, you know, people have complete trust in the government. And I kind of thought this way myself for a while, but at this point, with the information that's out there, a parent that's supposed to be the caregiver of a child, love their children to death, don't want any harm to ever come to the child, would put this in their child without looking into it extensively. I don't think there's any excuse for that anymore, man. What do you think?
I think it's willful ignorance at this point. I have a really hard time with this discussion. I'd like to highlight the victims of this, but at the same time, you know, the children are the victims, but the parents are not. And so I'm getting these reports back of these adverse reactions in children, and it's not a rare event. And I have a really hard time dealing with these stories because I just really want to go at the parents. But, you know, how do we know what level of, you know, of ignorance they're at? You know, if they don't have access to the truth, how can we blame them? So, again, this falls on the government's hands, not on the parents or the individuals. So to me, the most evil in all of this is beyond even the politicians. It's the mainstream media. You know, I put out a poll on my Twitter account the other day, and I asked the people, I said, which is worse, a mass murderer or somebody that comes up for a mass covers up for a mass murderer? And, you know, it was surprising to me. And I did also offer see that, you know, equally evil. But the actual mass murderer got the most forgiveness. They got more forgiveness than the ones that covered for the mass murderer, but they were equally, the overwhelming result was, I think, 74% said they're both equally evil. But, you know, people don't know what they don't know. And why is that? Why do they not know what they don't know? And that is because of the evil of the mainstream media mercenaries. They are not media, they are mercenaries.
I have a hard time with that, Wayne, because there is one media outlet in Canada that people have access to in this country, and all they got to do is tune in and listen to some of the reports on the Rebel. And I'll tell you, it touches on these vaccines a lot. And if you listen to some of these reports, then they would raise questions in your mind and you would start looking for other information. If a parent goes looking for the information, they can find it, but they've got to make an effort to do that. And at this point, I just say to parents that's vital, because you've got to understand exactly what it is that you're doing to your child. And I hear your argument that, you know, a good sector of our society is so brainwashed that they accept it and they go, well, they want to protect their child. They're hearing from the government, this is absolutely, the kids' pediatric vaccines are safe and this is the way that we're going to protect our children. Unfortunately, some of us still believe that in society. I don't buy it anymore. I believe there's just too much information out there. And like I said, Rebel, love them or hate them, Wayne, they put out information that no other media in Canada is. And they've done quite a few articles with doctors about this very issue. And if a parent listened to that information, it would send them on a journey to discovery, I think, before they put it in their kit. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I don't follow Rebel. I was quite disappointed in their lack of exposure on the actual the medical debate and all of this for the longest time. I think I probably interviewed 10 or 15 doctors before they started getting into that discussion. So I'm going to kind of pat myself on the back that they're kind of forced into doing that because they're getting so many questions about it. But, you know, the way I see it is
maybe,
you know, parents, when they have a child, They have one duty. One duty to protect that child. And if somebody comes along that you don't know and says, you got to give your kid chemo drugs for cancer to make sure that they don't get cancer, how many parents would listen to that? How many would actually do it? I think very few. But here, in this case, this instance, this time and place, they are. And that lays at the feet of mainstream media.
Yeah. I agree, Wayne. I'm not arguing with you. All I'm saying about the Rebel is like there's things that there's things about them I don't like, but they are the only media in Canada that is exposing information that you're not hearing on mainstream. And that might start people on a journey of discovery. I'm not saying they're perfect. They're a far cry from it. But I do listen to some of the reports, and a lot of it resonates with me, my friend. We don't have any other source in Canada right now. Go ahead.
I disagree with you on one point. There's other sources. There are other sources. There are my platform. There is Freedom Forum News platform. There is Liberty platform. There are all kinds of platforms, other platforms that are doing it, not just Rebel. And I would.
Well, I agree with you, Wayne. I'm not arguing that point with you. It's just they're out there more than anybody else at this point. And I agree. If people go looking for it, you can find the information. And I know your platform and other platforms are growing exponentially. I'm just saying they will ask it. They'll create questions in your mind. They will. Because like they are talking about stuff that the other media aren't talking about. Whether they're right or wrong, they are. I believe they're doing some good stuff. They might be doing some bad stuff, but I believe they're doing some good stuff. Just my thoughts.
Well, I'm not in a position to discuss Rebel Media. So I have my own media platform to be concerned with. And it's kind of mind-boggling to me, just the disparity, regardless of whose it is. At this point, I don't believe there's anybody has the excuse that there is no information out there. Nobody does. And this is my beef with parents. If they're getting their kids jabbed, they have not done their due diligence in attempting to protect their children. When I see them arguing with the schools to open the schools, not because of the illness, but because it's convenient for them to go to their jobs, this is again, a hypocrisy created by the government and holding that any leverage they can to force people into jabbing their kids. People they don't even realize what they're doing in this. They want their kids to go back to school, so they'll give them a jab so they can go to work. I would go and live in the bush under a tree before I would subject my kid to that.
Yeah, well, you have the knowledge, Wayne. Like you said, a vast majority of the people that are doing this don't have that knowledge. And that is the biggest problem we face in society, period, right now. If mainstream did its job, people would get the information they need, and this would come to a stop. So I'm not sitting here saying I'm a big supporter of Rebel Wayne. I support all kinds of medias, okay? All I'm saying is that, well, okay. Okay, we'll just leave that one alone for now, okay?
Well, that's a bit of a sore subject, given the history between Rebel and the work that we've done, that they literally attack.
Well, maybe I'm not aware. Maybe I'm not aware of some of the things that have gone on. Okay, yeah. Wayne. So we'll leave it at that.
And I mean, we're agreeing on the same thing. This is about the truth, and nobody's getting it. Even regardless, the Rebel wears the same label as we do in the mainstream media as being false information, radical right, all of those things. So we're in the same camp. Right. And we do things differently. So I'm not here to knock Rebel. I'm just trying to say that, hey, they aren't the only places out there. And there are places that have even better information than Rebel Media. Canuck Law is another good one to go and check out as far as for accurate mountains of information and evidence.
What's it called again?
Canuck Law.
You know what? I have not heard of that one, Wayne.
You'll get lost for days in there.
Really? Well, I'm just going to have to get lost, I guess, for a couple of days, because there is a lot of organizations in Canada starting to rise out of the ashes. So I'll just have to catch up on that one. But we do see a lot of people. We do see a lot of people getting involved now, Wayne, more and more all the time.
There is, and I would hazard to say even that some of the best, most explosive, most exposing, damning information is coming out of independent journalists, people like Andrea Lee and Canuck Law, a few of these other ones. You guys are just doing the grind work, and they're uncovering things that are absolutely should be catastrophic to any government. So the truth is coming out slowly but surely. So for us, the challenge is every day matters. Every day that we the sooner we can end this, that's less jabs going into kids' arms. And I was given another bit of information today. Pharmacy investment in Medicare and our health systems. So when you start to add up things about all of our seniors' homes being sold off to the CCP people and all of the mass deaths that have been going on in there, and then the forfeiting the properties, letting the government seize them back, all of these kinds of things that are starting to come out, and then hearing, and I didn't realize this until today, that in 2018, our government had made a shift in the financing for our medical system to being supported by pharma rather than infrastructure. So when they spend $500 billion, what are they spending it on? Because they're not spending it on beefing up the system or making the health system better. Pharma owns it already, so they've got all the money in the world, and they're getting it from us. And then we've got these so-called pseudo-political leaders that sign these contracts that nobody's supposed to be able to see for 75 years. And I'm getting reports about assets, physical assets, being seized by the pharma companies because they reneged on their contract to buy more jabs. So they're coming in and seizing properties. Is this what Trudeau did to Canada? Is this why they are burying and hiding this so deeply?
Yeah.
Is this why Trudeau would rather sue the Speaker of the House than to have the truth come out about the government's involvement in Winnipeg and the CCP scientists that they arrested and escorted out of there that Michelle Rempel knew about? And never asked questions about.
Not Michelle Rempel. She's the savior of our country. What are you talking about, Wayne?
Don't get me started. Working hard for you in Ottawa. But who is the you?
Exactly. Oh, what a snake she is, man. She's just got lipstick on. That's the only difference, Wayne. That's all. We know that.
Yeah.
This goes really deep. Look at the involvement of University of British Columbia. Look at all the other stories behind how this thing came to society, how long they've been planning it, who the players were, who was going to make a ton of money off it, what the end game was, and now we see it unrolling at light speed in our society. My biggest concern is right now that they're going to get such a hold on our society that we might not be able to turn this around. I don't know if I should feel that way, but some days I do. I feel that, you know, Canadians at this point, I know that lots of us are starting to become aware, and that numbers are rising. But the general population, even though they can't get access to this information, people do talk to each other. And general conversations in public right now should have most people kind of concerned.
Well, this Castro Jr. that sits in Ottawa has always had and still has an absolute hatred for the Canadian people. He stated that he would replace us if we didn't like it. And he is absolutely well on his way to replacing us through the undocumented imports of new populace to vote in his favor. He is absolutely
millions.
The replacements for us and working his best to kill the rest of the natural or Canadians. This guy, he is an absolute psychopath. There is no doubt in my mind. I actually asked him on Twitter if it would be safe to call him a psychopath. I didn't get a response. I didn't really expect one, but I asked him.
Imagine that.
Right. And you know, so this guy is absolutely, you want to talk about itchy trigger fingers? I think this guy is watching what is happening this week in Canada, and he is drooling for his opportunity to exert force on Canadians. He wants to be Macron so badly. He wants to see tear gas and rubber bullets flying in our streets so that he could demonize everybody. And he's almost got enough of the population backing him through whatever programming or fear that they're existing in to make it a real possibility. So I'm really, yep. really concerned about what could happen over the next couple of weeks, because it's not going to get better.
And that's how that convoy plays into this whole scenario right now, Wayne.
I think you're walking into a trap.
I think they are too. And you think about it, it would be the perfect play for them at this point. They want to bring down more and more tyranny, and that would give them a perfect excuse to do it. We talked about the convoy there a little while ago, but you know, I've watched these convoys for the last couple of years now, demonstrations. It's like they're not listening to us, guys. They're not going to listen to – it wouldn't matter if there's 100,000 Canadians on the street. And we've seen those numbers. They still are not going to listen to the public. What they will listen to is legal challenges in courts of law. And that's why what you're doing, Wayne, is so important right now, because I know you're you got lots of little sticks in the fire right now that well, it's now or never, my friend, because these guys are going to go absolutely ape crap on us. And I agree with what you said earlier. In the next couple, 3 weeks, it's going to have people shaking their heads. So people better get ready for that.
You know, I was in Ottawa when 50,000 people marched from Parliament Hill to the American Embassy and embarrassed our country and our government, exposing the disdain for what is going on and the crimes against humanity. And it made zero impact. Absolutely yep. zero. So this is where I think that the power of that has gone. And I think that until the courts turn, I don't think there's going to be remedy in protest. And the courts are only going to turn when the pressure is exerted on them, because there is no pressure being exerted on the courts right now. So this is where the Ethics Over Here organization kind of comes into what we've been working at, and those little sticks in the fire. And this, we started working on a project last August or September. I was right shortly after I did the interview with Dr. McCullough from Texas, and I was speaking with him. And he's very well aware of what's going on in Canada. He has a vested interest. He's got skin in the game in Canada. He's got family. His daughter-in-law and his grandkids are Canadian. So he's got skin in the game in this. So we were speaking with him about it and looking at alternatives. And that's where this man is absolutely brilliant. Not only is he the most published doctor in North America, but he is so brilliant in the whole adapt, improvise, and overcome mindset, that he doesn't get stopped in his tracks. He is always going to find a way. So he was working with us, helping plant the seeds in our group back in August and September on pulling out other tools out of the toolbox in the legal system and to find ways to exert pressure on the justice system. And this was what we went to work on, and we also understand that laws are nothing more than a set of rules agreed upon by a small number of people and then enforced on the majority. And at any point in time, that small group of people that makes these rules and agrees to enforce them can be influenced. That is a much smaller group to influence than empty buildings in Ottawa. So this is where we started to put our work together towards, and we've had a couple of dozen people working on these projects over the last several months now, I guess 6 months. And you people can – there is There's some cases that are going to be brought forward over the next couple of weeks in primarily Ontario West, every province, bringing malfeasance or misfeasance torts to the government. And there is going to be no shortage of plaintiffs and victims to get involved in this. And the reason we went this route is because so many other organizations and groups were trying to fight with both hands. They were using bits of criminal law. They were using bits of common law. They were using bits of international law, human rights law. Our fight and our battle and our project has been focused on 100% criminal law, because that is the only one of all of those different law sets and jurisdictions that apply equally to everybody. Criminal law, right. Nobody is exempt from criminal law. So this is where going towards misfeasance, which is a criminal law case, and we've got more than a mountain of evidence to support this, is an actual tool that can be enforced and engaged right now. Because the result of that in misfeasance cases are then injunctions. So if people want to do an intervention on all of this stuff, get on to Ethics Over Fear and get connected there, so that when these cases start to be announced in your province, that you can take part in this, because that is the only measure of leverage that we have against the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court. And from there, then the court of public opinion, which we all know is incredibly upset at all of this, but they don't have a wagon to push right now. And this is what we're going to try to provide them, is an effective wagon load of weapons that they can't escape from. They can give themselves all the indemnity they want in civil matters, but they cannot give themselves indemnity from criminal law. So this is where we're going to hit it.
That's sure a common sense approach to it, Wayne, because anything else that you do, they're just going to get tied up in legal charmin, carmen babble, and it'll be buried in the court systems for years. And by that time, the damage will be done. So the way you're going about this, I think that's ingenious. How can people get involved? You say go to Ethics Over Fear and get involved. How can people get involved right now if they wanted to make a difference in what you're doing? You say when it comes to your area, how can they actually get involved?
Well, this is where we do face some of the, you know, we can be as creative as we want within the tools and the environment that we're in, but there are external factors that we can't immediately overcome. One of those being that through the collusion between the government and most of the major corporations and unions in this country, almost all of the major litigation and law firms in Canada were put on retainer a long time ago. Not just the government, but the corporations knew this was coming. They knew people would be coming after them. So the major law firms cannot take cases like this because it's a conflict of interest. So anytime people have been phoning lawyers, looking to hire lawyers, and they get told that, no, they can't take this case because it's a conflict of interest, you know that one of two things has happened. Either the government has them on retainer or one of the large corporations has them on retainer. So this is what we're up against, is finding litigators and finding sources of funding for the litigators. The cases are prepared. We're interviewing lawyers right now. We're working with a couple in Alberta. Once they're cleared of this, some of their other cases, but we need litigators, and we need to be able to pay for litigators. They're going to be happening in every province, literally. I personally face a language barrier in dealing with Quebec, but we have people in our team to help with that as well. And this is what we're looking at doing, and it's going to be very simple for people. Really, it's going to be a matter of a victim's impact statement or a plaintiff's statement. And we haven't posted any of those tools online as of yet, because we do not want to really give the enemy our plan before we're kicking our plan out the door. So you're kind of getting a little bit more information that I should be sharing at this point yet. But the biggest thing is right now is get plugged in, get follow the Facebook page or get plugged into the website, sign up for a subscription on there, and you will be the first to hear about it. And the amount of the work that went into this was We could have done one province and just gone with that. But then we would have left a whole bunch of other provinces. So we've looked at the differences in law between many of the provinces. And the idea was for us to make this as accessible to everybody as possible. So we kind of boilerplated things so that people, regardless of which province they're in, they're going to be able to have access to the case that is relevant to their province. So send us an email, tell us which province you're in, and that's a great way to get started and to be plugged in and ready for when we hit the ground running in the next week or two.
Great. Victim impact statements, what do you mean by that, Wayne? I know the answer, I'm just asking as a dummy. Go ahead.
Well, and here's the thing with misfeasance. It doesn't just have to be an adverse reaction. Anybody that has suffered harm that can have a financial number attached to it because of any of this scamdemic is in a position to join one of these misfeasance suits, because this was a crime that was perpetrated, and whether they lost their business, they lost their home, it doesn't really matter. If you've been impacted in a negative fashion and there is a way that you can attach a dollar sign to your impacts, you can take part in this misfeasance tort action.
It seems like a very logical approach to the problem right now, Wayne. It really does, in light of what we're dealing with. The court systems are so corrupt that you're not going to get anywhere in the court systems. And, of course, like I said, the legal mumble-jumble that they put you through, most people can't even begin to relate to that. But this is a very straightforward solution to the problem that we have criminals creating and perpetrating criminal acts in Canada at an unprecedented rate. And it seems like we have no recourse, but this sounds like a very logical solution to the problem. So
well, that was
kudos to what you're doing.
This was the first point for Ethics Over Fear, was to try and take the noise out of it, to clear the waters a little bit and to get to discussion of things that mattered and to get away from just the, you know, the mindless screaming that's out there. And so this was kind of where we were looking at what was basic, simple stuff that we could do, and how could we make this duplicatable to help all Canadians. And the blessing of having such a diverse team as we've got, as we're not specializing in one thing. We don't have a law firm that specializes in one thing. We looked at class action lawsuits. We looked at all of the different things that other people were doing, and we thought that just doesn't suit what's required right now. That's not to denigrate anything that anybody else is doing. We just wanted something that we could put together that might have an impact now.
People are definitely looking at solutions because, like I said, when more and more people are really starting to catch on to what's going on in this country. So kudos to what you're doing, and I believe you guys will have a major impact going forward here. Love what you're doing, my friend. Thanks for doing what you're doing. And we're down to the last couple of minutes here, Wayne, so I'm going to let you have a couple more minutes to share a few thoughts and where people can reach you and how they support your organization, and I'll have to let you go. Thanks for coming in again.
It's always an honor, Barry. It's a pleasure that, you know, I'm grateful that you give us your platform to help diversify the message and get out of our own echo chambers. And I'm going to send you to another magnificent guest to you. That's something that I don't think you've had on your show yet, but you really ought to. A fellow named Chuck Black at Freedom Forum News, who's absolutely brilliant and equally, if not more, knowledgeable about some of these things as I am. So I'll plug him into you, and you'll have a lot of fun with that as well. But right now, people are asking, what can they do? What can they do? What can they do? And to me, I think the most fruit to bear, the most impact that can be made right now is, I don't care which independent media outlet that you like, love, and support, support them. They are the ones that are doing so much with so little, and support litigation. Get behind the legal team and get behind an independent media, because those are the tip of the spear in this battle, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And that you can find, as far as for our platforms, whatsupcanada.org, where we are the bullhorn for what the work over at ethicsoverfear.com is grinding out.
Well, Wayne, I got to thank you, bud, for coming in again. Always a pleasure talking with you, and I hope you'll grace us with your appearance again sometime in the near future.
I try to always be there anytime you ask, my friend. We're in this together.
How was that? That was a mouthful, wasn't it? Oh, my God, where'd that word come from? Okay, Wayne, look, thanks for coming in. And I'll be tuning in Tuesday night to join your conversation. I couldn't get in Tuesday night. I was having all kinds of problems. I don't know why. But then I'm a computer dummy, and everybody knows that. So I'll try and get in a little earlier on Tuesday, and I look forward to chatting with you then, my friend. Bye for now.
Absolutely. Take care.
Okay, guys, I'm going to be back in a few minutes with Kelly Wolf, and we're going to talk about the farmers in Canada and what's going on with them. Back in about 4 minutes.
America needs defenders in every place, in every generation, in our time. Respect for the right to life calls us to defend the sick and the dying, persons with disabilities and birth defects, and all who are weak and vulnerable. And this self-evident truth calls us to value and to protect the lives of innocent children waiting to be born.
Welcome back, Third Hour. Thanks again, Wayne, for coming in and sharing some thoughts with us today. Third Hour, I have Kelly Wolf back in, and I always enjoy my conversations with Kelly. Always got good stuff to bring to the table. Thanks for joining us again, Kelly. And I always, like I said, start the hour off with your pet peeve of the week. Welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me again, Barry. And Wayne did really, really – Wayne always rocks it on your show. He's one of the most intellectual men in this country, and I'm so very proud of him and all of his work. But in regards to
hard to keep up with.
Well, I wouldn't even try. There's no point.
Well, I try. Sometimes I get lost. Go ahead.
No, I wouldn't even try. I think my biggest pet peeve at this point in the country is to watch people, people who are very desperate for a remedy be taken advantage of. And I'd have to say that is that's my biggest pet peeve, and it's happening far too often across our country. Right now, there's been almost $100,000 in donations raised towards this trucker initiative. Now, I have nothing bad to say about the initiative itself or the truckers. I'm actually in awe of their bravery and their courage and their heroic initiative to stand up for against all these mandates on behalf of the people, and I applaud them 100%. My problem with the entire situation is that I feel that one of the organizations that is participating in arranging this to happen is taking advantage of everybody. First and foremost, the entire idea of stopping the trucks, is a good one in order to get the government to come to the table and negotiate when it comes to these mandates and end the mandates. Except I don't think it's a very wise idea to contribute to the government's intentional food shortages across Canada by shutting down the supply chain. I think it's extremely dangerous, and that we're going to be setting ourselves up for the blame.
We talked about that in the last hour. Yeah, we talked about that extensively in the last hour, and I agree with you that Kelly, let's put it this way. I've watched the demonstrations and the convoys for the last couple of years, the outdoor demonstrations, all the rallies, and you know what? This government at this point ain't going to listen to anything we say. They don't give a flying hoot about how many people show up in the street. And what they're doing now, well, let's just couple that real quick with what Trudeau is doing with the border crossings now with truckers, that if you're not double jibby jab, that you can't come into Canada. And you combine that with what's going on with this convoy, we're going to see a really, really big problem in the food stores in the next couple of weeks. Could set us up for hyperinflation all of a sudden. Is there paid actors inside this organization that are promoting this? Because I just, I love their courage. I love their tenacity and what they're trying to do, but I absolutely agree. So they're going about this absolutely the wrong way. And I think we're playing right into their hands.
Yep. I agree with that 100%. And I'm backing that opinion with my 21 years in experience in civil rights and my master's in political science. So, and social engineering. So the Canadians, I understand if anybody out there comprehends, what it feels like to be full of that sort of desperation, it is me. In the last 2 years across Canada, I have organized rallies. I've in every single city across our nation and spoken at every single one of them. And at every single one of these rallies, I have had mothers or fathers come up to me and show me direct pictures of their own teenagers inflicting harm on their bodies. So believe me, I mean, to the extent of almost killing themselves, if anybody knows the desperation of wanting to end this, believe me, I'm carrying it on my shoulders. But it is not an excuse for us to act impulsively, irrationally, or irresponsibly in seeking a remedy to this problem. I refuse to do that, because the truth is this: we have starvation already happening in Canada. Now, the reason why the government is so dead set on malnourishing our entire population is because we are the most resilient species on Earth, and their bioweapons are not working the way they wanted them to. So make no mistake, Justin Trudeau has participated in financing a bioweapon. A bioweapon of biologically engineered viruses that are absolutely intended to kill. He has done this in conjunction with pharmaceutical companies and other bad foreign actors who take a serious interest in the fact that Canada is the richest country in the world in natural resources.
They're just licking their lips.
So, yeah, and that's exactly it. You've got all these wolves looking upon our country as their own profit, and they want to strip us in the same way they did India and Africa. At one point in history, at a few points in history, both of those nations were also the richest countries on Earth in natural resources. People have to comprehend what this is truly about. Now, when it comes to political infiltration, absolutely. That exists all across Canada and will always exist in every single social change and civil rights change that approaches on any nation. But I believe in this case, it's the entire initiative is being led by somebody who has their own political aspirations and ambitions. And I'm just going to call it out because somebody's got to. And, you know, I support every single group across Canada. I support all the people within those groups because they're good people. What I don't support is the individuals who lie and take advantage of people's good nature and desperation for their own personal gain. And in reference to that, I'm going to call out James Botter of Canada Unity. So, the reason I'm going to say this is I have experience personally with this person. And he came to me about a month and a half ago and with Canada Unity, which I saw was doing good and was raising a good reputation nationally. And on the recommendation of some people within the movement, whom I trust extremely much, including Jim Kerr, who is Papa Bubbles of the Bubble Bus. He is one person who I really, really love and appreciate and his opinions of, because he has the ability, the rare ability, to view things with a very wide perspective, right? So he's very he's non-judgmental and really, really for the benefit of all. So and I took his opinion and I started working with Canada Unity. Now, when they came to me, they had this MOU, which is the Memorandum of Understanding, and this is their main root of their entire organization. Now, I read the Memorandum of Understanding, and I felt that the language was absolutely wonderful in it. Now, a Memorandum of Understanding is by no means a legal or binding document, nor does it have the ability to become a legal or binding document. And the only issue that I took with the language within this Memorandum of Understanding was the fact that Canada Unity was trying to implement itself into a negotiation that they were trying to achieve with the Senate and the GG as a civilian oversight committee. So that right there, that's personal gain. You know, I mean, I believe that it could have been worded that a civil oversight committee should be installed, but they specifically put themselves in as that option and no other option. So I took issue with that. But the rest of the language was good when it comes to trying to bring the Senate and the GG to the table for negotiations in order to end all restrictions and reinstate all jobs. So, of course, I supported it, right? You know, you can't let the one bad apple spoil the bunch of the entire initiative, and those things can always be guided. However, I knew that there was no chance that the Senate was going to enter into contract. But right. As a means to raise more people, I absolutely supported it. Now, so when he came to me, I mean, they only had 1,000 signatures nationwide for this MOU, and they've been working on it since 2017. In 1 week, I brought them up to 54,000 signatures. And I personally took James Botter and a few others out to Montreal and sat them down with the resistance leaders from Quebec, from La Table Ronde, and these are the people who are responsible for those 350,000 people marching all the time. They're very serious and very well organized, and we got the entire province of Quebec on board to support the MOU. So, Operation Bear Hug, the original one. So, and the idea was to everybody was to descend upon Ottawa. And my first impression was that we were supposed to be moving onto the hill in an occupation effort in order to force the Governor General and the Senate to come to the table. But that's not how it turned out. We ended up at a park around the corner from Parliament Hill, and it was just not what was presented. So I took issue with that. Now you know that I am the executive director for almost 400 civil rights and active grassroots organizations across Canada. And I have a very strong reputation with all of these groups and organizations, and I don't build bridges to burn them. I absolutely don't. And I do believe that I don't believe in unity in the sense of we all need to adapt and adhere to each other's ideologies. I believe that we need to unify as a collective of individual entities, because we're trying to build an evolutionary society that is based on the principles of individual liberty. So, and I think that's why a lot of these groups choose to work with me, is because I am their ideologies don't affect my own principles. And I respect them regardless of how we differ in our decision making. And because in order to make the best decisions, you need a plethora and a vast area of different ideas in order to come to the best decisions for the collective. So, but James, I guess he had an ego issue, and he tried to publicly slander me. And he posted a summary. Accusing me of lying of my credentials, which is nonsense, which was easy, very easy to refute. I posted a bunch of my diplomas. I didn't post them all, but I posted a bunch of them. And then I was really justified. I can't lie, because I don't expect anybody to ever come to the battleground, to the front line for me. And I was very shocked that hundreds of organizations immediately rose in my defense and demanded proof of his accusations, and then demanded a public retraction. So when everybody agreed to come together and have a meeting in Ottawa, and James never showed up for the meeting, and then some of the organizational directors from Quebec called him and forced him to come. And when he came to the meeting, he immediately attempted to blame. He said the demons made him do it. That's quite literally what he said. Yeah, he said the demons made him do it.
Okay.
I just couldn't believe that happened. So, that's
a new one.
And it was on video. And so I was justified, and I never had to say anything further. So, and then immediately after that happened, obviously, all the organizations that I had lined up to come and participate in Ottawa no longer were interested, because they were not going to come out there to support the actions of a man who so arrogantly, blatantly, and disgustingly tried to slander and ruin my good reputation. And so they wouldn't participate. And I even begged them to. And I was like, just don't worry about it. It's not about him. It's not about that. It's about our entire nation. And they wouldn't do it. So people like that will fade away.
Well, people like that will fade away, Kelly. So
yeah,
I wouldn't give any energy.
That's what we thought was going to happen, and that's exactly what happened. Like right after he left immediately from Ottawa and went back to Calgary. Little did we know, he was on his way back to Calgary because he wanted to try to take advantage of a situation in order to obtain the viewership from Patrick King. So everybody out there knows how much I love Pat King. I call him the King of the West. I will always stand in full support of Pat King. Yes, we were in a previous relationship. Yes, we are no longer in one. It didn't work out, but I will always maintain my respect for Pat King, and I will always stand beside him and support the things that he does, because he doesn't have any personal motivations. This is strictly, he is 100% sincere in trying to protect this country for the benefit of our children and their offspring. And, and I have to make that very clear, but there is some tensions behind the scenes. You know what I mean? No breakup is ever pleasant. Right. And James saw that. So I believe that he went and tried to cash in on that. And, but I've messaged Pat, and I'm sure that Pat sees what's going on by now. And, but he did that in order to obtain Pat's participation in this action when it comes to the truckers. So he used, you know, he used some negative tensions between me and Pat in a vindictive way in order to take advantage of the public because Pat has such a large reach. And that is the gist of it. That is, I absolutely believe that is what happened. And I stand by that. That's my opinion. But by no means does that mean that I don't support our truckers. Of course I do. I support everybody in this country, especially when they're trying to take actions, you know, in defense of the greater good of all. I just believe that instead of you know, raising $100,000 for Canada Unity, you know, because the truth is that, you know, it's being presented that this money is going to be distributed amongst the truckers for gas purposes. But then you see James Botter publicly announcing that people's gas responsibilities are their own. So where is that money going? That is my question. And I don't think it's right, especially in such desperate times, to be taking advantage of the Canadian public on such a large scale. I think it's appalling. So,
yeah,
you know, and if everybody else...
I'm on the outside watching from this go on right now, Kelly. I'm just kind of taking it all in, but there's a few things
going on that I don't agree with. I don't like the idea that this, regardless of the fact that Pat was smart enough to declare that he has nothing to do with that fundraising effort and will not be in receipt of any of that money. I know that he publicly declared that, but in the end, it is still going to fall on his shoulders. And I don't agree with that at all. I think it is reprehensible. You know,
so Pat's
involved
with this convoy. He's going to go across the country
with the trucker. Yes, Pat was the person. Of course, he was. Of course, Pat was the one. He was one of the main fronts, and with Wayne Peters and Mark Friesen for the oil and gas convoy, and has it within his reach and ability to make such an event happen. So that's why James cashed in on him. And the truth is, James doesn't even like him. He was one of the people that publicly slandered Pat and lied to the public on such a mass scale in regard to the oil and gas convoy that happened previously. So, you know, that's what I mean. Like, these kinds of things, we have to be able to confront them. And, you know, and I'm not trying to cause distraction or participate in the creation of any drama. But it's just that simple. You know, if the truckers out there really want to make a difference, then I would suggest that you continue collecting the orders of the government to pick up all of this food and dispose of it from all these packaging companies and manufacturers. And rather than disposing of it, bring it to local mom and pop shops so that they can distribute it for free to those in need across the nation. You want to counter what the government is doing. We don't want to participate in starving our nation. We want to counter it.
Well,
and that would be an act of
non-compliance. Well, what we talked about earlier there really sounds like a pretty logical approach to this, that the fact that what the government's trying to do, like you said, with the vaccine mandates for truckers coming across the U.S.-Canada border now that Trudeau is so adamant about enforcing on the Canadian people, we're going to see a major disruption in supply chain. And then we couple it with what's going on right now. I would like that opinion expressed to a few people that are involved with this and get their feedback and what they actually think they'll achieve by doing this. Because to me, I love the fact that they want to make a statement to the public, but I really feel that this is wrong. I really do. That's just my opinion on it right now from what I'm seeing.
Yeah, me too. Me too. So, and, you know, if you really, really, really want to cause a demonstration that is going to shake the government, you're not going to do it by applying actions of which they're prepared for. Now, make no mistake about it. The government is prepared for this kind of resistance. They're prepared for civil disobedience. They're prepared for noncompliance. They're prepared for people to rise radically. What they're not prepared for is for people to make them irrelevant. It's for people to stop participating in their system. If you saw all of these border security guards stand down in a united front and open those borders to those trucks, regardless, you would shock the government. If you were to see 100 people in every province walk up to the provincial legislative buildings and cut up their SIM cards, you will quickly see the government come to the table. These are actions that matter. These are actions that say we don't need you. These are actions that say the population has become aware that we don't need you.
Well, that, let's remind them that they work for us.
That's right. They do. But the truth is, they don't. This is a corporation.
That, so turned around.
Yeah, but it's
time. We're little peons.
That's exactly what we're doing. So right now, the Canadian Democratic Defense Association, which is a 100% grassroots organization of which I've built, in order to find a way to become a facilitator between all the active organizations across the country so that they don't have to mix their ideologies and they don't have to adhere to each other. But they can work together in order to access the resources that each of them require to bring their actions to fruition. We are working with farmers across Canada.
And, let's talk about that for a few minutes.
Yeah. So, first and foremost, I mean, they're trying to starve the nation. And the reason that right now in British Columbia and in Alberta, they have marked up the purchase of hay by $200 a ton. So, and then they have prohibited the sale of wheat seeds. So what does that tell you? That tells me that they are attempting to starve all the livestock. Because that's what they need to feed.
Control the people.
That's correct. Control the food, control the water, control the people. So we've been working with these five farms initially from Alberta. And some of the farmers they come from Indigenous signatory bloodlines and tribal people. And so they come with protections. Well, they also come with renewable energy resources and technology of which the government has no access to. And I'm talking renewable energy resources on the scale of which can take entire landfills and entire scrap yards of automobiles and turn it to renewable free fuel.
That technology
and the technology
exists,
can
Kelly.
Also, pardon?
That technology exists. I'm well aware of it. Go ahead.
Yes, it does. And we have it. So we have organized with farms across the country and any other farms, no matter the scale, that wants to participate in this waste management technology and our crop and plant technology, which comes from like lighting technologies and all this renewable, zero emissions causing tech that can be installed on your farms to grow crops 10 times their size in a seventh of the time and turn all waste into clean energy and purify your soil. So, any farm that wants to participate is more than welcome to, and they can send me an email directly to kelly@mycanadianfreedom.ca. So reach out, absolutely, and we'll join you in. We have meetings every single Monday and Tuesday. We've got an administrative group taking full advantage, full control and organization of this effort. And there's a Facebook group called Free to Farm and a Telegram group called Free to Farm. And I would suggest to anybody interested in either investing, participating, or installing this technology to join these groups immediately because it's happening. So what we have been offered now is with a $10 million deposit, we have the ability to access $200 million from an Indigenous hedge fund in order to manufacture, ship, and install this technology to every farm in the country. Doing so will provide all of our farmers with a monopoly over our entire power grid. And that's the hands that sort of power should sit in, is the people who know best how to take care of the land and who are charged with the responsibility of feeding the entire nation and keeping our resources clean. So it's working. So we're halfway to our mark. We've got to raise another $5 million. And I've been working hard at it because I don't believe in – I believe that our people are under enough stress. So I don't want to reach out to the public in order to raise this money. There are private companies out there that have the ability to invest in agricultural change. And, this will benefit them for years and millennia even to come. you know, and it's going to change the course of history for Canada. Now, out of that $200 million, $100 million is going to be used in the development of our agricultural infrastructure. And the other $100 million is going to be used to build clinics and schools across Canada. And all of these three pillars that we're building for economic independence will be built on protected lands, thanks to all of our First Nations reserves that are all coming on board in order to protect these projects from the intrusion of the corporation of the federal government of Canada. And now a lot of these nations are also learning how to revoke their status and claim their sovereign signatory rights over the allodial title of their lands. Now, doing so will give the Crown no leg to stand on. They will not be able to intrude upon these territories and upon these institutions that we're building. I mean, we're talking hospitals. We've got medical technology that makes med beds look like child's play. And it's also privately owned. And, I mean, you can't even look at the brochure for this technology without signing a non-disclosure agreement. It comes from an unsurrendered, non-status Indigenous chief, and he owns the patents. And this technology only exists in two locations in all of North America, and most of these locations are completely operated by nurses alone. We're going to change the way that things happen, and we're going to do it. We're going to build it all on the principles of individual liberty. So the 360,000 frontline nurses that have lost their jobs because of the dictates of a tyrannical corporation that poses as a government and does not serve the population, they're going to be reemployed. We are going to create hundreds of thousands of jobs with this technology in our farms. We are going to create hundreds of thousands of cooperative educational programs across the country where students will be able to get their volunteer hours, their co-op hours, and experience and trades experience by participating in the operations of this technology on our farmland.
Huh.
You know,
and cleaning up our
resources.
So let me ask you a question. Is cannabis playing any kind of a role in your plans going forward?
Well, absolutely it will be, but...
The incredible cannabis plan.
Well, I do have... there's a man named Peter Cardinal, and he is one of the most brilliant men I've ever met in my life, and he is also Indigenous. He is a tribal man from Alberta. He has access to cannabis resources, untapped natural cannabis resources that can build infrastructure, and I'm talking buildings and homes, at a fraction of the cost that will last 300 years or more. There is 101 different uses for cannabis. And this gentleman has all he needs is the investment. If anybody out there is looking to invest in building infrastructure by way of cannabis, reach out to Kelly at mycanadianfreedom.ca immediately. And I will put you in direct contact with Peter Cardinal.
You know, there's a company in Canada right now that business is absolutely exploding, Kelly. And they're called Just Biofiber. They're out of Calgary, Alberta. They spent $20 million 4 years ago to develop building product based on hemp. They now have an absolute explosion in business because wood prices have gone to a point now where it's cheaper to build a house with cannabis than it is with wood. And people are starting to look at this. And when people look at it, they go, why are we not doing all our construction going forward from this day now in the future, build everything with the cannabis fibers that are available? Because the benefits, you can get me going. Kelly, I'm one of the most passionate people about the benefits of cannabis on our society. And I could go for an hour right now literally talking about what it could do to our world if we fully embrace it. It is just a God-given wonder, and we need to embrace it because the one thing you talked about there was detoxifying our land, and that is one of the biggest problems we're facing going forward. I just read a report, I don't know if you're aware of this, Kelly, on the biosphere of the planet. It was released by the University of Southern California, Berkeley. There was also another one done by a Japanese university. And what they had found out is that our biosphere, the very biosphere of our planet, could literally collapse on us in the next 5 years. The reason for that is because they have been spraying chemicals in our skies for years and years and years. Burnium, strontium, potassium, iodide, mercury, you name it, they're spraying in our skies. All metal-based contaminants that are ending up in our soil. But one of the biggest problems we're going to have going forward here in the next couple of years, I honestly believe, is getting products to actually grow on the land. That the biosphere could actually collapse. And if that happens, then we'll see mass starvation. That's where cannabis, of course, comes into play, because it will detoxify.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. That's where this technology. That's where this technology comes
absolutely incredible.
Into play.
So all I'm saying is it has to be part of the play. Absolutely.
Well, yeah, of course it does. Of course it does. But this technology can purify soil. People have to comprehend that. It purifies soil. Yeah, and it does it immediately. In no time. All of the things that these, all the chemtrails, everything, they become obsolete. So, to every Canadian out there, we need you to start talking about free to farm. We need you to get involved. We need this to happen on every level, on a rural level, on a municipal level, on a provincial level, on a national scale. And we need it to happen immediately. We need everybody's involvement. If you know sponsors, if you want to participate in essentially saving the planet and our species, then you need to get involved with Free to Farm today. We've got right now, these farms have produced organically fed grade A Angus beef right from Alberta, and they're ready to go. So they're making sales right now at a portion of the cost. That the government that you'd ever receive through any of the farms through or through any government orchestrated program. So get on top, get into Free to Farm. And the farmers that we're working with all this livestock and all this, organically fed meat and produce are willing to trade with other farmers as well. They're willing to use the barter system so that there's no cost and effect of which the government can try to intrude upon. So get involved.
You got to get me sitting down at a round table with these farmers one night and let me share some thoughts with them for a couple hours. Okay.
Absolutely.
If you would do that, I would appreciate that, because I can put thoughts into your minds right now about what we can do with the cannabis plant by growing it, by feeding it to our animals. It just would absolutely blow people's minds. And this is something I think they should, you could really be aware of how that could play into what you're talking about right now. It is time for the world to bring back the cannabis plant. And I'd love to talk with these guys. I really would.
Yep, I'll put you in direct contact immediately with them. And I'll put you in direct contact with Peter Cardinal as well, Barry, because he has access to the manufacturing resources in order to accelerate the development of hemp and cannabis.
Well, go and look at, if you get a chance there, Kelly, when you get off the air here, go look at Just Biofiber out of Calgary and what is going on with their business. They've just expanded massively. They had to put in another production line. They cannot keep up with the demand now, because what's happening is builders are really all of a sudden going, hey, look at the qualities of this building product as opposed to natural wood or wood products. The biggest thing, Kelly, one of the biggest silent killers in our houses right now, and people don't realize it, is white mold and black mold. So anytime you have two wood products, you put them together, you get a little bit of moisture. I don't care how you build your house, moisture will always find its way in there. And, of course, you start the perpetration of black mold and white mold. Well, cannabis products do not allow that in any shape or form to fester. They do not allow it to grow. So you think about
that
alone.
And that's why they sustain themselves
so long.
Your
air. Well, yeah, and then you know what? There's a bridge right now in Europe, Kelly, that was built 600 years ago, and they're still using that bridge today, built out of hemp.
Yep.
You know that hemp gets stronger as it gets older? Did you know that?
Yes.
Show me a wood product that does that, and show me a wood house that won't burn. That won't burn. Think about that, Kelly. Think about all the lives we could save every year and the misery and the grief if we built our houses with hemp-based product. Fireproof. Man, oh man, there's the answer right there, folks. Go ahead. I don't want to start talking about cannabis because I'll go for an hour.
I know.
That's not. I'm not going to take an hour talking about it. People have heard my cannabis rants before. They know I'm very passionate about it, Kelly, because I realize how much it can change our world.
Yeah, well, there's so many aspects. And Canada is the richest country in the world in natural resources, you know, and there are so many untapped, you know, natural resources, just like hemp and cannabis, you know, that are going to be utilized. And that's exactly what we're doing. And I think that building our agricultural infrastructure and taking a monopoly over the power and the energy that's created from it is absolutely 100% imperative for us to do as a people. First and foremost, I got to make something extremely clear because I keep seeing these ads. Oh, you know, funded by the government of Canada. People, the government of Canada does not have money. It's your money. It's your wealth. It's yours. It's not theirs. It doesn't belong to them. And, you know, and the sooner that everybody starts realizing that, but let me touch on something for a second. You know, there's been so many conversations across podcasts over the last 10 years in regard to talking about, are we living in a simulation? Yes, we are, but it is not as mystical as you think it is. It's actually quite literal and very, very easy to comprehend. Okay? The parallel simulation that we're living in is the belief that the government of Canada is a government at all. Okay, so let me burst everyone's bubble right now. There is a difference between law and legislation. And that difference is the fact that if you break a law, you are committing a crime. If you commit a crime, you will go to criminal court. You will either prove your innocence and be on with yourself, or you will be found guilty and you will have to serve your punishment for that crime. When you violate an act of legislation, you are not committing a crime because legislation is not a law. It is a rule of society of which is decided upon by the governing authority of that society. So mandates and acts and regulations and statutes are not laws. And the sooner everybody in Canada realizes this, the quicker you will embrace united noncompliance and you know, which is why nobody gets charged for not complying. You know, all they can do is get a summons, a ticket, and go to court, and then it's thrown out, or they accept the contract of a fine. It's negotiated business contract law. And why is that? Because we do not have a government in Canada. It's not a government. It is a corporation. And it is a corporation owned by some American company that has an account somewhere in Washington, D.C. And you can see this on the Securities and Exchange website for the United States Securities Commission and Exchange. So Canada Incorporated is a corporation. It's a business. Now, how did the business, become a governing authority? Well, by your voluntary submission. But do you ever remember voting, you know, or even knowing that the so-called government of Canada was a business? No. So how did they become a force in your life? I'll tell you how. By committing a crime. So in 1934, President Woodrow Wilson came up to Canada and decided and implemented the use of what's called the birth certificate. Okay? And he did this in a fashion after the same methods that they used on all the tribal people in North America when they invented the status card. Okay? Now, what this is, essentially, is they tell you to register your child's birth so that, and they do it under the guise that your child will be in receipt of benefits that they otherwise would not be eligible to receive, which is absolute bullshit and nonsense, because the benefits that are given to a population you know, that a population can obtain come from the monetary value of the natural resources of the country they live in. That's where our free health care and free education comes from, is the fact that we are the wealthiest country on earth in natural resources. So we can afford to provide these things for free. Okay? And that you have to comprehend the structure. So what did they do? When you gave birth to your children in the hospital, you immediately are given a piece of paper, and it's called a live birth statement. That is the only piece of identification that has ever been required in order to receive any other identifications for record-keeping purposes, historically, in any country, any civilized country. So to go get your driver's license, you would need your mother and a copy of your live birth statement. That's it. Your passport, same thing. Or you would get your priest or your pastor or your doctor or a teacher to sign off as a, you know, as a witness to the fact that you are who you say you are. And but with the introduction of the birth certificate and the under the guise that you're going to be receiving, your child will get all the benefits of, you know, that they otherwise wouldn't be entitled to. They make you apply, register, and submit your child to get the certificate that they don't need. Okay? And now, what do you do when you apply for something? How do you define the action of application? If you're filling out a form, you are asking somebody for something. You're asking for a service. Okay? So you're begging for something. What are you doing when you register something? You are giving up your property. You are putting it somewhere. You are placing it in a third party's hands, in the possession of an entity outside of your own self. So when you register your child's birth, you are giving up your child. And you retain just the use of them. That's why children's aid can come into your home and take your children, because your children no longer belong to you once you register their birth. They become a ward of the state. And when the state issues the certificate back to you with its certification number, they use that number in order to create a fictitious entity called a person. And if you don't believe me, pick up a legal dictionary, and I challenge everyone out there right now to pick up a legal dictionary and define the word person legally. It will tell you it is an entity or a corporation of which cannot take responsibility for itself. So what is a person? A person is a shell company. It is a shell company. So they create a fictitious entity, a shell company, out of that certification's number. And then they apply a value to it. And what value do they apply to it? Well, every single all the people born to a land by birth have an equal monetary share to the value of their natural resources. So they equally apply that value to every single one of these entities that they create, these persons that they create, and then they float bonds backed by that value on the NASDAQ every day from 12 to 4. And this is what they do as a method of voluntary slavery, without your knowledge or consent.
I don't like that.
No.
You know, Canada has approximately, I read two reports, Kelly, about $17 trillion in natural resources in the ground, in the air, in Canada right now as we talk. And, of course,
that doesn't include our untapped natural resources. In the last 10 years, the corporation of the federal government in Canada has stolen over $32 trillion from Canadians.
Yep. Where's our share of all that? Where did that go? Where did that money go? You know, they are just ripping Canadians off. Well, we shouldn't be paying a penny of tax in this country. Not a penny.
No.
Based on our resource. No. But they've turned that around, and they've done it very slyly, and they brought in the tax systems, and Canadians just went along with it, and then they brought in the income tax. That was a War Measures Act, was going to be dropped at the end of the war, but look at that. We got so much money coming in, we can't drop this now. And look where we are today. We're the most taxed people in the world, in the richest country in the world. None of that makes any sense, but that's where we're at.
Well, here's the thing. So here's the thing. So they have indoctrinated our people to believe that they only have the benefits of which they receive, which is nothing, by the way, in comparison to what they're actually worth. That they wouldn't have these benefits without them. So, and that's why you're seeing even some of the most noble intellectual and academic people in the country flee the country right now, rather than you know, try to understand the situation and confront it. Right. So you've got some of the most academic professors, doctors, even lawyers and judges that have chosen to leave the country, to leave Canada, because they don't want to be forced into any vaccination or mandates or ridiculous tyrannical political, you know, dictates. But the truth is, you don't need to participate at all. You just have to walk away. That's it. But you see, and everybody's like, well, what am I going to do? I'm going to lose my, you know, some people. There's millions of Canadians who are dependent on the social assistance and financial assistance institutions that exist. So they're like, well, what am I going to do? What do you mean? What are you going to do? You don't need them. When you take a loan out, it'll say in quotation marks the word YOUR, your loan. Do you honestly believe that the loan company is pulling money out of their pocket to provide to you, you know, and lending it to you? That's not what's happening. It's your loan. Your signature is the value. So they take that piece of paper, the contract that you sign for your, in quotation marks, loan, and they go to what's called the Consolidated Revenue Fund, take your own money, acting as a courier service, bring it back to you, and then they charge you a fee for that and interest on top of it. Your signature is value.
Well, they're printing money out of thin air too, Kelly.
They do that.
Out of control.
They can't. It's backed by our natural resources. So how do we fix it? We fix it like this: a notice of understanding and intent, and a claim of right. A notice of understanding and intent by every single Canadian citizen out there and every single recognized status Indian out there puts the corporation and every international nation state on notice that you know that you have been unlawfully enslaved into a contract without your informed consent. And the claim of right is your way of taking ownership over the fictitious entity or the person that they have created. So you will still have full access to obtaining the benefits in the society that the corporation manages. Only you use your sovereign authority to take possession of it. And we're also developing a system right now. It should be ready in a couple of weeks. To distribute nationally, that will give the means to every individual, be it a status Indian or a Canadian citizen, to leave the system immediately. And what I want to see the moment we release this is I want to see Canadians walking up to their legislative buildings and cutting up their birth certificates and their SIN cards. And we are going to give you the means to do that. It is time for us to build a magic carpet and then rip it out from underneath them and take full authority over our society. We're already setting up for constitutional conventions to take place in every single province across the land. We're building a constitutional draft based on the principles of the Universal Code of Human Rights and the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, of which are built on the fundamental fabric of individual liberties, life, liberty, security of the person and property. And in order to achieve a society in which this can be maintained, protected, and respected, that means we need to change the entire structure of our parliament. So the end game is, we intend to build a society where the people are the governing force, where Parliament is populated by a body of independently elected representatives, where everybody's on a 2-year let, where each one of these independently elected representatives are, you know, once they're independently elected, then you have a parliament that is built on competence and servitude and qualifications rather than dynasties, backroom deals, you know, lobbyists and lined pockets. If we are going to set an example out of the pride that we once believed, you know, Canada stood for, then we need to first construct the foundation and the manifestation. We need to manifest this into reality. And we need to pop the bubble and step out of the simulation and step into our conscious reality where we can be absolutely aware of our surroundings. The educational reform that is going to take place with the schools that we're opening is going to be the most profound educational reform you have ever seen or could imagine. It is going to, we're building all of our institutions based on the fabric of individual liberty without discrimination, with respect. Equality should only exist under the law. Everything else should be done with respect to individual liberties. Freedom of choice, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom to evolve and create as individuals of a collective society for the greater good of all. Because there is no greater good to all when you try to apply a one-size-fits-all solution to billions of individuals with individual beliefs and needs. So you want to talk passion, Barry? Well, you don't get me going.
So I was muted there. I keep forgetting I'm muted because people keep complaining about the noise I make in the background. So I try to mute when I'm not talking. But I guess my question would be, is the Canadian public ready to embrace such radical changes in our society? Because, of course, you know, a lot of people are still stuck in the left-right paradigm of two political parties in Canada. Do you think the Canadian public are ready for this kind of change, Kelly?
Absolutely. And all I'm going to say to encourage them all is this. It's very simple. Okay? You were made to create. You were not made to destroy. Now, whether you believe in a natural creator, whether you walk in the principles of Christ, whether you choose to worship an elephant or a rock, it makes no difference. You are made to create. Have the courage to do so, because there is one law that overrules everyone, has always and will always, regardless of whoever tries to overrule it. And that is the law of nature. And that which does not adapt and evolve will perish and die. That is a fact of nature. So it's a simple choice. Do you want to live?
I guess the choice is, what kind of world do you want to live in? And I sure don't want to live in the
world.
No,
do you want to live? That's the choice. The choice, it's not what kind of a world. It's, do you want to live? Because if we don't embrace evolution now, we will not have a world to live in.
Well, I would agree with that. There's lots of reasons why I would agree with that. And I like having you in here and sharing your thoughts, Kelly. You got my mind going in lots of different directions today, and I like hearing different opinions about things. I applaud what you're trying to do, that's for sure. What do you think is going to happen here in the next couple of weeks? Because what I see going on in this country right now, I believe that they're going to pull all the stops. I honestly believe that, because they are losing the narrative so quickly in this country. What do you think is going to happen in the next couple 3 weeks here, Kelly? Is all hell going to break loose? And I'll get you a thought on that. And I've only got we only got 2 minutes left, so I'll get your thoughts on that, and then I'll have to let you go. Go ahead.
That's okay. Yeah, no, they're going to re-raise the climate issue. That's what they're going to do. They're going to bring forth the climate issue. So be prepared for that. It's all nonsense. And
I know that.
Yeah, it's all nonsense. Okay, so and they're going to bring forth the climate issue, and they're going to be using. They're going to try to take control of our natural resources in a way to mandate more things, more restrictions. So, but what's going to happen is we are preparing across the entire nation right now. the most productive educational initiative that has ever happened in Canada. And we have so many committed people. We have thousands, tens of thousands of Canadians committed to this initiative. And they're not even going to see what they're not even going to. Their heads are going to spin when we counter all of the upcoming actions. They become so predictable and desperate themselves that they're losing grip. And we've got control of our, you know, we've got control of our people now, of each other. We've got each other's backs. And our military, believe it or not, stands on our side. And they will. And they will.
Well, I'm going to get my popcorn and get ready for this, Kelly.
Yeah.
Because it's about time. There's so much I see coming in the next little while that I do see Canadians start to push back in lots of different ways. And I really like what we've had to talk about today. I hope that people can take what you're saying and maybe take some of it to heart and see if it makes sense in their brains. Why don't you share again where people can find you and the sites that you want them to follow? And I'll get your last thoughts, and I'm going to have to let you go, my dear.
Yep, sure. Yeah, everybody can reach me at Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, at mycanadianfreedom.ca. You can reach me on Instagram at Real Kelly Ann Wolf or Official Kelly Wolf. I'm also on Facebook under Kelly Ann Wolf. And I would suggest to join the Facebook group Free to Farm. It's all written word. And the Telegram group Free to Farm as well. Or just send me an email at kelly@mycanadianfreedom.ca. And I will send you the links back so that you can join these groups immediately. We need all hands on deck. So listen, there is always a solution. There is nothing to fear. We are going to do this together with respect for one another and our differences. And we are going to set an example for the rest of the world to follow on behalf of our obligation for the next several generations of our offspring. So let's go. Let's get up and let's go.
Cool. Let's do it. Thanks for coming in, Kelly. Always a pleasure. And hopefully I'll get you back in the near future.
Absolutely. All my love, Barry. Bye, honey.
Okay. Thanks again. Bye for now. Well, folks, that's a wrap. I've enjoyed talking with people today, and I hope you've enjoyed the conversations we've had. Maybe we can take something away from these conversations. I'll be back next week, same time, same place. If you guys believe in the power of prayer, say a little prayer for my doggy because he's a little sick. And hope to have a real good show for you next week. I'll see you guys then. Bye for now.